KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. It's time to stand up against big tech. Protect your data at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Well, we have received the decision in Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. It completely overrules Roe versus Wade, the leaked draft decision by Samuel Alito a couple of months ago. It has not changed. There have been some additions. The new majority opinion, which is joined in concurrence by Chief Justice Roberts, who in his concurrence, by the way, is precisely as cowardly as you would expect him to be. The actual five justices who voted in favor of the opinion are Alito, Thomas, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett. Thomas and Kavanaugh filed their own concurring opinions. We'll get to those in a moment because Thomas's is particularly fantastic and speaks to what constitutional law actually should be. And then Chief Justice Roberts filed an opinion concurring in the judgment but failed to actually join the opinion. So technically, it's kind of 5-3-1. Really, it's kind of 6-3. It doesn't matter. Bottom line is Roe versus Wade is now gone. It is no longer the law of the land. Planned Parenthood versus Casey, which was the follow-up case to Roe, which did away with the trimester structure and instead went to fetal viability, that standard is now gone. This means states are now free to regulate abortion. They're now free to protect unborn human life. That is what this decision means. It means that hundreds of thousands of children who would have been killed in the womb will now live. This is a victory for human life. This is a victory for all human beings who are made in the image of God. It is a victory for a system of law that is not meant to be perverted by a bunch of robed oligarchs deciding for you what is your best moral life. Instead, the idea is that this issue is now going to devolve to the states, which is where it was for literally all of American history up until the point at which Roe versus Wade seized it from the states and decided to turn it into a fake constitutional issue based on emanations and penumbras. So we're going to go through this opinion. It is a very long opinion. We're going to go through the opinion. We're going to go through the concurrences. We're going to go through the dissents. And we're going to prepare for a weekend of rage because presumably the left is now going to lose its ever-loving mind because they've been losing their mind for the last couple of months. In case you haven't noticed, there have been firebombings of pro-life clinics. There have been firebombings of churches. The DOJ has done precisely nothing about that. There's going to be a hue and cry across the land where we are told that women everywhere are going to be suffering from back alley abortions and all the rest. And then what will happen is what always should have happened. The state will now take over these questions. And Alabama will have very different laws on this matter than New York will. Now, from a moral point of view, I would love to see the pro-life movement win across the board. But on a constitutional level, the resolution of this constitutional issue by getting rid of Roe versus Wade and delegating it back to the states, which is where it originally was placed, that is the proper constitutional response to this, barring the reinterpretation of the 14th Amendment to protect unborn human life, which for this court would have been a stretch. In other words, this is the best that the pro-life movement could have hoped for. And now the real battle on the ground for the pro-life movement begins. What sorts of law can you pass in various states in order to protect unborn human life? So let's go through the opinion. So Justice Alito's opinion, we went through his draft opinion when it was released through a leak in an unprecedented violation of Supreme Court precedent a few weeks back. The draft opinion very much is reflected in this actual final majority opinion. The draft opinion was like 98 pages. The new opinion is like 108 pages. So there's some additional material. I'm really going through this with you as I read through it myself. So this is my quick and dirty response to the majority opinion. So Justice Alito says, Abortion presents a profound moral issue on which Americans hold sharply conflicting views. Some believe fervently a human person comes into being at conception and that abortion ends a human life. Others feel just as strongly any regulation of abortion invades woman's right to control her own body and prevents women from achieving full equality. Still others in a third group think abortion should be allowed under some but not all circumstances, and those within this group hold a variety of views about the particular restrictions that should be imposed. For the first 185 years after the adoption of this Constitution, each state was permitted to address this issue in accordance with the views of its citizens. Then, in 1973, this court decided Roe v. Wade. Even though the Constitution makes no mention of abortion, the court held that it confers a broad right to obtain one. It did not claim that American law or the common law had ever recognized such a right, and its survey of history ranged from the constitutionally irrelevant, e.g. its discussion of abortion in antiquity, to the plainly incorrect, e.g. its assertion that abortion was probably never a crime under the common law.
Well, folks, welcome back to another night of Reading Colt 45's Baseball, brought to you tonight by North Valley Distributing here on KCNR. That was Kirsten Bishop there with the national anthem. Ms. Bishop has sung for us the anthem a couple of times now, and she's done just an absolutely phenomenal job every time. Right now, the plate meeting is going on between the umpires and our two coaches, Barrick Fastings and Brandon Owens. Having a little trouble there with my lineups. It's going to be the East Bay Grizzlies under Brandon Owens tonight. And the Colt 45s will look to bounce back after taking a loss to that TKB club a couple of nights ago. They had taken down TKB in their first matchup of the two-game set. The score in that game was 21-3. However, TKB came back with a phenomenal pitching performance, and the bats came alive as well for him. They ended up winning the second game 7-1. So, Colt 45 is looking to bounce back. I'll go ahead and give you the lineups for both teams tonight. On the mound for the Colt 45s is going to be the ace, Isaac Horseman. Batting first for the Colt 45s is going to be Arif Camacho. He's back in the lineup after sitting out for most of the last game, just coming in for those last few innings. It'll be Kyle Norton back at first base tonight, batting second. In that number three spot, it's going to be Bryce Tweed once again in center field. Blake Tweed will follow him in that cleanup spot, playing in right field. It'll be Isaiah Cortez in left, batting fifth. Batting sixth, it'll be Mateo Mendoza behind the plate once again. It'll be Derek Ray, number 24, the designated hitter, and Peyton Jeffries behind him in that eight spot. Playing third base tonight, it'll be Jeffries' first time playing or starting at third base. He played a couple innings there last game. It'll be Sorry, it'll be Jonathan Kumai playing over there at second base once again, and he'll be batting in that nine spot. So for the East Bay Grizzlies, then it's going to be Jonathan Coleman starting in right field and batting first for him. It'll be Geno Hutchinson following him in that number two spot playing left field. Taylor Kaufman's going to be in center, batting in that three spot. Cleaning up for him is going to be Benny Nazarito, the shortstop. And then Mateo Tabimi will be hitting in that fifth spot, playing second base, followed by Juan Leon. He will be playing third base. In that number seven spot, then it's going to be Ryan Lapu-Yave. He'll be playing first base. It'll be then Jordan Scott, the designated hitter, batting eighth, followed by Jason Arsenal, the catcher, and it'll be Keyshawn Martin on the mound tonight for the East Bay Grizzlies. So now we're just waiting for this home plate meeting to finish up. We've got Cookie Monster out there on the mound throwing out the first pitch. He's alongside Big Bird over there as well for KIXE tonight. And just like that, it looks like we're going to clear up the plate meeting, and Cookie Monster will get ready to throw out the first pitch. I think the biggest question of the night for the Colt 45s is going to be whether or not they can bounce back with the bats. Their offense has been extremely hot all season, and then it kind of just died out last game. They scored just one run against TKB, and that was off the home run from Blake Tweed. They threatened a number of times. They were given a number of opportunities to score, given a lot of free bases through walks and hit batters as well. However, the execution with runners in scoring position was not what they had hoped and not what we have seen throughout most of the season so far. So they'll hope to come back tonight. I don't think pitching is much of a worry here tonight for the 45s. You know, we've got Isaac Horsman out on the mound, and Horsman has pretty much always just done a terrific job here for the Colts, and I imagine he'll continue to do so tonight. It is quite a hot night here at Tiger Field. It's about 100 degrees right now. It was 102 when I walked in to the ballpark. Should cool down to about 97 degrees in the next 45 minutes, and then it'll get to the low 90s as the game goes on. However, it looks like tonight we won't see anything below 80 degrees. So now, Cookie Monster is throwing out his first pitch. Isaac Horsman out there on the mound warming up. First two batters out next to the dugout trying to time him up for East Bay. Again, Horsman, one of those guys who you can really rely on to just be an absolute workhorse. He's a big, tall right-hander, about 6'5", up around 220 pounds, and he throws the ball like a big man, too. I mean, there's nothing shy about that fastball that he's got. And then he's got phenomenal control over his off-speed pitches as well. I think I mentioned this last game. With this heat, the only issue here for the pitchers is trying to keep those hands dry, keep the sweat off of them, and be able to maintain a good grip on the ball all night long, especially with those pitchers who rely on the off-speed, rely on that tight grip to really get the wrist to snap. It's tough out there. They don't have a rosin bag out onto the mound, so keeping those hands dry is definitely a little bit of an issue. And now Horsman is going to throw his final warm-up pitch, and we are going to welcome out to the plate Jonathan Coleman to start off the game. So Coleman strides up. Again, this is the first game of this three-game weekend set between the 45s and the East Bay Grizzlies, as Horsman stands up there and takes his sign from Mendoza. Now we'll set up. Here's the first pitch of the game. Swing and a miss. Strike one. Nice fastball there right on the inside corner, and Coleman just went right over the top of it. No balls and a strike. Horsman again with the 0-1 pitch. Here it is. Swing and a miss, strike two. That was kind of in the opposite spot, another fastball, just a little up in the zone there, and this time Coleman swings right under it. So nice couple of fastballs. Now the 0-2 pitch. Swung on and popped straight up into the air. Mateo Mendoza under it, and he will make the catch for out number one. So, nice three pitches to get Horsman started with his first out of the inning. And that'll bring up Geno Hutchinson, the left fielder. Hutchinson now with one out, none on. They look to get things started here for the Grizzlies in the top of the first. Now he'll take a deep breath before he steps into the box. Isaac Horsman looking down for a sign. He's got it. Here's the pitch. Another fastball, and it's going to tip off of a check swing from Hutchinson for strike one. Now, I said a check swing, but that was really just kind of a hip check, and he just wasn't able to get that bat back up behind his shoulder in time that came in on the inside and kind of nicked off the bottom of it. So it'll be an 0-1 count now as Horsman looks down for a sign again. Working quick, here's the pitch. Strike two, called this time. Nice fastball there on the outside corner. And quickly, just like Coleman, Hutchinson goes down 0-2. Now the 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss, strike three, high fastball. And Hutchinson could not keep up. So first two batters are down in six pitches. Horsman working very quickly and very efficiently so far. And that'll bring up Taylor Coffin. Let's see if he can slow the pace down a little bit and knock Horsman out of this rhythm. Coffin, the center fielder, really crowding that plate here. Now the pitch. Swung on and grounded to the third baseman, Jeffries. It'll go off of Jeffries' glove. And Coffin will reach first base on an error from Peyton Jeffries. Now, Jeffries, listed on the roster as a pitcher, he played shortstop last night for the Colt 45s. And, two nights ago against TKV, and then moved to third base later in the game. Now he's starting at third base tonight, but the first ball that comes to him is fumbled. Reginato now out of the lineup for the second game in a row. Horsman setting up with a runner on first. Here's the pitch. Fastball in there for strike one. Now, here early in the first inning, Grizzlies were hoping to knock Horsman off of that rhythm after he got those two quick outs. That error might have done it. The 0-1 pitch. Curveball, swing and a miss on that one. That was absolutely filthy. And it doesn't look like they've knocked him off of his rhythm at all, actually. So now, Coffin leading off the first. Benny Nazarito looking at an 0-2 count. Here comes the pitch. Inside fastball, barely misses the corner of the zone for ball one. Horsman once again now stepping up on the rubber and looking down for his sign. He's got it. The 1-2 pitch. Runner goes. Curveball swung on and fouled back into the parking lot. That one will hit a car. So the first foul ball of the night goes back and drills a truck out there in the parking lot. And the count will remain one ball and two strikes to Benny Nazarito. We'll see if Horsman maybe looks a little closer at Coffin over at first after he tried to steal on that last pitch. 1-2, here it is. No steal. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Benny Nazarito can't catch up to the fastball. And although dealing with an error, Horsman gets out of the inning with three quick outs. So that'll bring us to the bottom of the first. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading. They are a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball, and they're a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500, North Valley Distributing.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they keep her online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win! Win, win.
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and price right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
All righty, folks. Welcome back here to Tiger Field. It is the bottom of the first inning, as the game remains tied after the East Bay Grizzlies fail to score in their first ups. It'll be Arif Camacho, as I mentioned earlier, leading off once again after not starting in the last game. That game, the Colt 45s lost 7-1, but his hot bat will be back in the lineup tonight, as on the mound is Keyshawn Martin warming up. Again, this is the first game of a three-game set between the 45s and the Grizzlies. Should give us a good idea of what the rest of the matchup will look like. However, in that series against TKB, we know that both games were wildly different. Either way, however, Camacho now is going to stride up for his first at bat of the ball game. He steps into the box. Keyshawn Martin up on the mound. Tall left-hander. Here comes the 0-0 pitch. High fastball. Won't quite find the strike zone for ball one. Count will be a ball and no strikes to Arif Camacho to start him out. Now the 1-0 pitch for Martin. Fastball is going to be driven into center field. Going back is the center fielder Kaufman, and he will make the catch on the run. So a deep drive by Camacho to start off the game, but Kaufman, with some speed and that helpful height, is able to reach out his glove and make the catch on the run. He was running pretty much straight back. That ball had some distance on it. But unfortunately, Camacho is put out, and that'll bring up Kyle Norton. Now the 0-0 pitch to Norton is going to be a curveball in there for strike one. That was a nice pitch from Martin. Fell right off the table into the bottom of the strike zone there. Count will be no balls and a strike for Martin. Here's the 0-1 pitch. Swung on and fouled back into one of the poles holding up this backstop net. Quickly, Norton is down 0-2 in the count. Now he'll step back in the box. A ball and two strikes. Here's the pitch. In the dirt. And that'll be ball one. So the count will move to a ball and two strikes for Kyle Norton. She steps in once again. Now the 1-2 pitch from Martin. Here it is. Low fastball. Count's going to move to two balls and two strikes. Norton doing a good job of working the count. 2-2 pitch. Here it is. Swung on and grounded to the second baseman, Tabimi. He's got it. No, he's bobbling it, and he cannot get a hold of it. Norton is on. So, struggles for the infield on both sides of the ball here, as Tabimi lets Norton on with an error, and that'll bring up Bryce Tweed. Tweed last game was kind of quiet, actually. He was 0-for-2, however, he didn't get a whole lot of chances to hit. He was hit by a pitch three times in three separate at-bats. So he was only really given two opportunities, and in both he flew out. They weren't weak hits either, just went straight to a glove. Now the pitch to Tweed is going to be driven into deep right field. That one's going back. It's going back, and it's going to be caught at the warning track by the right fielder, Jonathan Coleman. So a nice drive there from Bryce Tweed. However, Coleman just in a perfect spot to run back and make that play. So that'll bring up Blake Tweed. We know Tweed had that only run of the game a couple nights ago for the Colt 45s off that long and deep home run to left field. Now with two outs and a runner on first, Martin will throw back over to first, and Norton's in there safely standing up. He wasn't taking much of a lead at all. Martin's got a good move, though. Lefty, pretty deceitful. 0-0 pitch to Tweed. Here it is. Fastball in there for strike one, right there on the inside corner. So Norton again leading off of first as Martin looks down for a sign. He's got it. Tweed in there. The pitch. Norton goes. Curveball in the dirt. Norton will be up with no throw. Nice stolen base there. Now Tweed has the opportunity to score a run here for the 45s with two outs and a runner on second. Norton, for a big first baseman, has some speed. So base hit most likely would be able to score him. Outfield playing a little deeper. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and tapped over to the right side. It's going to be the first baseman, Lepuyave, on the play, and he tosses over to the pitcher covering Martin for out number three. Tweed gets put away, and although the Colt 45s threaten with two outs, they will not score. So that'll bring us to the top of the second. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. They are proud sponsors of Reading Colt 45's baseball, and they are constantly servicing the electrical construction markets and electronics industry. So give them a call at 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500, North Valley Distributing.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back here to the top of the second inning at Tiger Field. Colt 45 is tied up with the East Bay Grizzlies. 0-0 is the score after one. It'll be Mateo Tabimi up to bat for the 45s. Tabimi coming up for the first time, hitting in that five spot. He'll be going up against Isaac Horsman, who's back out there on the mound. Horsman working very efficiently last inning. Allowed just one runner, and that was on an error, so pitch to Tabimi now is going to be a fastball just a bit high outside of the strike zone for ball one. It was right there. Now the 1-0 pitch, here it comes. Inside fastball this time. Again, called for ball two. So quick 2-0 count to Tabimi. I don't know if Horsman has thrown two consecutive balls yet. Either way, the 2-0 pitch, here it is. Fastball, that one's going to be on the outside corner for strike one. So, 2-1 is the count. Here comes the pitch. Fastball, that one's going to miss the outside corner. Three balls and a strike now will be the count. Horsman obviously a little frustrated with that pitch. Now here comes the next. Swung on and drilled straight to Jonathan Kumaya, and he's going to drop it. Now he'll pick it up and throw to first in time for out number one. That was a lined shot right to Kumaya. Kumaya, however, right in the sun, just couldn't quite get that ball in the pocket. Just knocked right out of his glove. Luckily, it just dribbled a couple feet away from him, and it was hit so hard that he was able to just take a couple steps, pick it up, and throw it over to Norton for out number one. So that'll bring up Juan Leon, the third baseman now. As Horseman delivers. That one's going to be bounced over to the right side and in the hole for a base hit. Was not a real hard hit ball, however, had just enough velocity and was put in just the right spot to evade Kyle Norton, who was moving over to try to make the play. And it goes into right field for a base hit for Leon. That's the first hit that Norton has allowed so far. And that'll bring up Ryan Lapuyave. He'll have a runner on first with one out. Horseman sets up. Here's the delivery. High fastball, ball one. Lapuyave started off with a 1-0 count. Now the 1-0 pitch. Strike one called. Fastball right there around the knees. Nice pitch from Horseman. That'll even up the count at a ball and a strike. So Horseman sets up now. 1-1 pitch. Here it comes. Swing and a miss on a curveball. Low and away. That was a great pitch. Horseman really just got Lapuyave to go out of the strike zone and chase that one. And now it'll be a 1-2 count as Lapuyave tries to stay alive. Here comes the pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. High fastball, and Lapuyave tried to uppercut it. He gets right under it for strike three, and that'll put two outs on the board for Horseman and the Colt 45s now as Jordan Scott, the designated hitter, comes up to the plate. So it'll be a one on, two out situation for Scott as he swings and misses through a first pitch fastball. Now Horseman is going to throw back to first. Nice move, but Leon is back in there sliding. Horseman sets. Here's the pitch. Another high fastball, swing and a miss. Scott not showing a whole lot of discipline here at the plate. He's now swung at two pitches that I'm not so sure were strikes. He's got himself in a 0-2 hole. Let's see if Horseman can finish it here. 0-2 pitch on its way. Strike three called. Fastball in the inside corner. So a nice job from Horseman. He strikes out two to get out of the inning. That'll bring us to the bottom of the second as the Colts look to strike first once again. It'll be Isaiah Cortez. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. They're a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball and a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets. Call 530-222-1500 North Valley Distributing.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back here to the bottom of the second inning at Tiger Field. It'll be Keyshawn Martin back out onto the mound for the East Bay Grizzlies as Isaiah Cortez comes up to the plate for the first time tonight. As I stated last inning, Colt 45 is now looking to strike first. After a couple of really nice innings from Isaac Horseman. Horseman looking like his usual self on the mound. He has given up no runs through two innings and has been working very efficiently so far. Now Cortez, the lefty, will step into the box, and here comes the pitch from Martin. It's going to be a curveball check swing from Cortez. They're going to appeal over to the third base umpire, and he's going to say he went. Cortez a little surprised. He didn't think so. It actually took two appeals for the third base umpire to realize they were pointing at him, so I don't know if he was paying a whole lot of attention. Count will be no balls and a strike, and now fastball is going to go inside on Cortez, and it's going to hit him somewhere. Looked like it just scraped him maybe across the elbow, but either way, he'll be put on first with a free bag. So now we'll see Mateo Mendoza for the first time. Mendoza behind the plate tonight for the Colt 45s. All season, he has been switching off pretty much game by game with Ethan Williams splitting time evenly back there. And they've both done really great jobs behind the plate. They've been pretty solid every game. So now the pitch to Mendoza is going to be an inside fastball for ball one. Martin will step back up onto the rubber. Takes his sign. Cortez taking a decent lead off of first. Here comes the pitch. Another inside fastball, but it's going to be a called strike that time. Mendoza kind of tried to emphasize that pitch by sticking his arms out like he was trying to avoid getting hit, but the umpire doesn't buy it. He calls it for strike one. Count will be evened up now at ball and a strike. Martin sets up again. Here comes the pitch. No, he's going to throw over. Cortez back in pretty easily. Still, Martin's got a pretty deceiving move, as I mentioned earlier. I imagine he's going to do a pretty good job of keeping these Colts runners limited on the base paths. Now he'll pitch, and a single is driven into left field by Cortez. An inside fastball, and Cortez just did a great job of getting around on it, getting the bat hit on it, sending it out into left field for a single. So with no outs now, that'll put runners on first and second for the Colt 45s. That's the first single of the night given up by Keyshawn Martin. And now Colts are threatening with two on and no out as Derek Ray comes up to the plate. Keyshawn Martin sets it up. Here comes the pitch. High fastball. Ball one to Derek Ray. Martin again up on the rubber. Takes his sign. Sets up. 1-0 pitch on its way. Swung on and popped straight up into the air. Keyshawn Martin, the pitcher, calling for it. And he'll make the snag right in front of the mound. Derek Ray is put away. And now, still with two on, it'll be Peyton Jeffries coming up with one out. Again, Jeffries, I don't think we've seen him in a position spot throughout the entire season, but last game, he was at shortstop. Tonight, he's at third base, and it'll be his second time in the lineup. So now the pitch to Jeffries is going to be a low fastball. It dribbles away from the catcher, and he will hold it as Cortez slides into third. Yeah, Cortez slides into third. Mateo Mendoza into second. I got the two mixed up there for a second. Wasn't sure who was on what base, but it'll be a 1-0 count to Peyton Jeffries. Here's the pitch. Swung on. This one's going to be lifted high to the right side. It'll go foul, landing on top of the visitor's batting cage. Jeffries, in the last game, was 1-for-4 with a bunting single. However, he had three strikeouts, so pretty quiet night for him in his first game in the lineup. Now with runners on second and third, looking at a 1-1 count, he's got a chance to do some damage. Base hit could score the first two runs of the game. Keyshawn Martin sets up. Here's the pitch. In the dirt, it's going to skirt away from the catcher, Arsenal, one more time, and Isaiah Cortez will come in and score. So it's a 1-0 ball game now here in the bottom of the second as Mateo Mendoza moves on over to first. Jeffries will be looking at a 2-1 count. Martin sets up. Here's the pitch. Swung on. Broken bat. It's grounded to the second baseman, Tabimi, who throws to first for out number two. And, well, Mateo Mendoza will come in and score. So it'll be two outs. However, 2-0 ball game here at the bottom of the second. Martin. Having given up only one single so far, however, hitting Cortez and allowing a few wild pitches, I guess, has now given up two runs here in the bottom of the second. Jonathan Kumai now up in the box, watches a high fastball go by for ball one. Now the 1-0 pitch from Martin is going to be in the zone. Kumai swings, ground ball to the shortstop. He's going to bobble it. Benny Nazareto cannot make the play, and an error will extend this inning for Keyshawn Martin. So that'll bring up the top of the order. It'll be Aleev Camacho coming up to the plate. Martin setting up now. He's got two outs. Kumai over on first off the air. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. Nice change up there from Martin. Had Camacho completely fooled and messed up on the timing. Now the 0-1 pitch. Here it is. Fastball in there for strike two. That was across the outside corner. Camacho did not offer a swing. Count becomes no balls and two strikes. So he sets up once again. Martin now, 0-2 pitch, here it is. Swung on and fouled lightly over to the right side and into the net. That was a curveball that Camacho just barely got a piece of. Count remains no balls and two strikes. Kumai over there at first. He's not one to take an aggressive lead. Now the 0-2 pitch. Swung on and popped straight up once again. Coming in is the entire left side of the infield. And it's going to fall right behind the third baseman, Juan León. Both León and Nazareto were shifting over to the left. They were over kind of closer to the right side. They both came over and then ran straight in. They were both playing deep as well. And, León had called for it and looked like he was right under it, and it just fell like about 2 feet behind him. So now runners on first and second. Here's the pitch. It's going to be a fastball, and Kumai takes third base. It was an early steal from Kumai. He just took off. Nobody was really paying attention. He was... Wow, that was an interesting play. But Camacho will be on first, and now Camacho will go. Here's the 0-1 pitch, and again, there will be no throw, as Martin has just decided not to hold these runners on at all. The count's going to be a ball and a strike to Kyle Norton. Here comes the 1-1 to Norton. Swung on and fouled back into the net. Now it'll be a 1-2 count to Norton. So it's two errors in this inning that have kept Martin from getting out of it. He now has runners on second and third, both of them having reached on an error. The 1-2 pitch, Norton, here it is. Curveball swung on and grounded lightly over to the left side. Shortstop, Nazarito has it, but he is not going to be able to make a play at first. Instead, he throws to third, where there is also no play. And Norton will be on with what looks like they're going to rule an infield single. Another run will score for the Colt 45s. It'll become a 3-0 game. Nazarito came in on that ball and picked it up, but started juggling it, decided not to go to first, whipped around and threw to third. They cannot make a play there. So once again, kind of a mistake on the defense, keeps Martin in the inning. Now a high fastball to Bryce Tweed is going to be called for a ball. It'll be a 1-0 count. Martin taking his sign. He's got it. Now he'll set up. Here comes the pitch. Runner at first goes. That's Norton. As Bryce Tweed check swings and jams one foul back into the net. The count will be a ball and a strike. Again, Keyshawn Martin and the Grizzlies have had two outs for three consecutive batters. All of them have reached kind of on a mistake from the defense as a fastball goes by to Tweed. That one low for ball two. That last hit by Norton, it'll be ruled an infield single. However, Nazarito did not put himself in the best position to really make that play. So the 2-1 pitch. Norton goes, but he's going to be picked off. Now a throw home is going to be not in time. Now Norton will reach second and rounds it. Looks like he was thinking about third. My, oh my, another defensive mistake. They had Norton probably easily there at second, but the first baseman, Ryan Lapu-Yave, decided to gun for Arif Camacho, who was gunning home. They can't get him. The score's going to move to 4-0. Here comes the 2-1 to Tweed. It's going to be swung on and grounded lightly down the third baseline. It'll be a fair ball as Juan Leon picks it up, and now a ball thrown in the dirt. It's going to be picked by the first baseman, Lapu-Yave, and they finally get out of the inning. Close there to scoring another error on the defense. But either way, the Colt 45s score four runs, primarily due to the defensive mistakes of the Grizzlies, and that'll bring us to the top of the third inning. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. North Valley Distributing has been consistently servicing the electrical construction markets and electronics industry at 3081 Crossroads Drive for some time now, so go ahead and give them a call at 530-222-1500, North Valley Distributing.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
All righty, folks. Welcome back to the top of the third inning here at Tiger Field. It's going to be Jason Arsenal, the catcher. Had a bit of a rough inning last inning. Couple of pass balls allowed a few runs to score, so down 4-0, he'll try to get something started for the Grizzlies. Isaac Horstman back out on the mound after two scoreless innings thrown. He sets up. Here comes the pitch to Arsenal. Swing and a miss. Strike one. Fastball there right in the zone. Arsenal swings right under it. Count will be no balls and a strike. Here comes the pitch. Another fastball in there, almost the exact same spot, but no swing from Arsenal this time. Count moves to 0-2. Horstman with that velocity really just overpowering these hitters. And swing and a miss, strike three. So three straight pitches, two swings and misses, strikes out Jason Arsenal for out number one. Horstman has struck out the last three batters consecutively now. And that'll bring up the top of the order in Jonathan Coleman. Horstman, here comes the pitch to Coleman. Curveball, swing and a miss. Phenomenal pitch, and Horstman has just found an absolute killer rhythm here. 0-1 count. Here comes the pitch again. Fastball swung on, grounded sharply to Jeffries. Jeffries picks it out of the dirt, now throws to first for out number two. Nice play there from Jeffries. A little bit lucky, if you ask me. He kind of pulled his head out as he stuck his glove down and kind of had a little bit of a look what I found moment. So he picks that ball. Still, he played it nicely. And that'll get the Colts a couple of outs. It'll bring up Geno Hutchinson now. Hutchinson in his first at-bat against Horstman struck out. Horstman hoping to do it to him again here in the top of the third. He sets up. Here's the pitch. High fastball. Ball one. Count will be 1-0 to Geno Hutchinson. As he steps back into the box. Here comes the 1-0 pitch. High fastball once again. Calls the ball two. Horstman lowered it a little bit that time, but still it was up above the letters. Now the 2-0 pitch. Low fastball this time, and it does not find the strike zone. So Horstman, for the first time tonight, throws three consecutive balls. With two outs, he'll be looking at a 3-0 count to Hutchinson. Here comes the pitch. Fastball, that one's going to be in there for strike one. Horstman, who looked like he might be off of his rhythm, comes back with a nice pitch. Gets himself a strike. 3-1 on its way. Fastball, this one grounded sharply down the third baseline, but foul. And now, after trailing 3-0, Horstman comes back, makes it a full count here. Again, 4-0 ball game. Nobody on, two out. Horstman with the payoff pitch. Here it is. In the dirt, ball four. Horstman looked like he was trying to get Hutchinson to chase on something. However, that ball just wasn't quite fooling the left fielder as he shows some good discipline and heads to first base. It'll be Taylor Coffin now coming up to the plate. Coffin reached on an error from Peyton Jeffries in the first inning, and now he's going to watch a fastball go by just a bit outside for ball one. Hutchinson taking a good-sized lead off of first. Here comes the pitch from Horstman. Fastball in there for strike one. Now, we really haven't seen any phenomenal contact from this East Bay Grizzlies lineup so far. They're having a hard time catching up to that fastball. Now runner's going to go. It's going to be a ground ball to Jeffries at third. He scoops it up and throws over to first for out number three. So a strikeout and a couple of plays from Peyton Jeffries. Gets another three outs for the Colt 45s. As we head into the bottom of the third, they'll look to extend that four-run lead. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets. So call them at 530-222-1500. North Valley Distributing.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by RedingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. Reading Electric Utility and City of Reading staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back here to the bottom of the third inning. It's going to be Blake Tweed up to bat for the second time tonight against Keyshawn Martin. As Martin sets up and delivers, it's going to be a ground ball lightly over to the first baseman, Lapu-Yave, who tosses it over to Martin covering for out number one. Now the umpire is going to ask to take a look at the ball, and he does take a quick look at it before handing it back to Martin, who will go back over to the mound. Good out for Martin. First pitch ground out. Hopefully for him, gets him back in a rhythm after allowing those four runs in the last inning. However, not all of them can be blamed on Martin himself. There were plenty of errors committed by this East Bay Grizzlies infield last inning. By plenty, I suppose I just mean two. However, the mental mistakes, there were more than that. Now, it's going to be Isaiah Cortez as he grounds one over to Beamy, the second baseman, who throws it on over to first, Lapu-Yave, for out number two. So, a real quick couple of ground outs. Makes the first two-thirds of this inning go by very quickly for the Grizzlies and Keyshawn Martin. That'll bring up Mateo Mendoza. Mendoza has one of two hits here tonight for the Colt 45s, the bottom of the third. The pitch, way high. Ball one. Mendoza now looking at a 1-0 count to start him off. With two outs, he's trying to get something started. Infield playing back. Here's the pitch. Fastball, that one's going to be way outside for ball two. Those last two pitches, Martin seems to just have lost control on both of them. Now he sets up again on the rubber. Here comes the 2-0 pitch. That's going to be an off-speed right in there on the inside corner. Looked like a changeup, but it'll be called strike one. The count will be two balls and a strike to Mateo Mendoza now. Now the 2-1 pitch. Swung on and driven into center field, getting under it is Kaufman, and he will make the catch for out number three. So Martin, after a rough second inning, comes out, does a great job of getting through the order quickly. That'll bring us to the top of the fourth inning. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading. They are a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball and a major supplier of electrical and electronic products the industrial and construction markets. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500. North Valley Distributing.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back here to the top of the fourth inning in this matchup between the East Bay Grizzlies and Reading Colt 45s. Colt 45s lead 4-0 at the moment. Isaac Horstman on the mound has pitched three scoreless, and he'll look for a fourth now as he comes back out. Up to the plate for the second time tonight is going to be Benny Nazarito, the shortstop. He struck out in his first at-bat, looking to avoid doing so here. He'll try to help chip away at this four-run deficit. So now he'll adjust his gloves a bit and step into the box. Horstman takes the rubber and now looks down for a sign. He's got it. Here's the pitch. Fastball, swing and a miss. Strike one. Looked like a golf swing there from Nazarito. Got right under that ball. Couldn't make contact. It'll be an 0-1 pitch. Another swing and a miss. Strike two. That fastball a little higher. Once again, Nazarito swinging under it. Cannot make contact. It'll be an 0-2 count to start off. Nazarito swung on. This time grounded straight back to Horstman, and he'll throw over to Norton at first for out number one. Now, I'll tell you, Isaac Horstman is probably the embodiment of getting out in front of the batter. Here out onto the mound, it is seldom that he does not jump out with a first pitch strike. And you can almost guarantee that if he doesn't get the first one, he'll get the second one. So now it'll be Mateo Tabini coming up. He's going to swing and foul off a curveball back into the net. And Horstman just, he's really a unique pitcher. I mean, after throwing that curveball, he strides down powerfully to get a new ball from the umpire, then quickly goes back up onto the mound. Here comes the 0-1 pitch. That one's going to be drilled straight to the second baseman, Kumai, who jumps up and makes a spectacular catch for out number two. That one looked like it was going over Kumai's head, but he just leapt up and stuck his glove up and made the catch for out number two. That sun that was in his eyes when he dropped that first line drive has kind of gone down behind the tree, so he's in the shade now, can see the ball a little better, and makes a nice catch there. So now the pitch to Juan Leon is going to be strike one called. It'll be an 0-1 pitch to Leon. Here comes the second. Swung on, grounded to Kumai lightly. Kumai scoops it up and throws over to first for out number three. So an extremely quick inning. Once again, highlights the total efficiency of Isaac Horstman. Brings us to the bottom of the fourth inning. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading. They're a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction market. So give them a call at 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500, North Valley Distributing.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
All righty, folks. Welcome back to the bottom of the fourth inning here. It's going to be Derek Ray coming up to the plate, looking to help extend that four-run lead for the Colt 45s right now. Keyshawn Martin going back up onto the mound. Despite that 4-0 score, Martin has actually done a pretty good job up there on the rubber so far. At least two of those runs can be attributed to the errors on part of his defense. Either way, he'll step up here against Derek Ray as he now delivers. That one's going to be swung on and popped up again. First baseman Lapu'Yave going back, and he will make the catch. Drifting there a little bit. Looked like he had a little bit of trouble, but he'll get under it eventually. Derek Ray down for the second time tonight, again with a pop out. It'll be Peyton Jeffries now coming up to the plate. Jeffries grounded out in his first at bat. Now he'll be looking to do something a little more productive with one out, nobody on. Here's the pitch. Swung on. This one's going to be driven deep into right field. Going back is Coleman, and he will make the catch just before the warning track. A nice chase by Jonathan Coleman over there. He had to turn around to the opposite side as the ball cut a little bit to the right, and he makes a nice catch going down to a knee. So Jeffries gets a hold of one, but can't quite get enough on it. It'll be two outs and nobody on for Jonathan Kumai. Kumai reached on an error in his first at-bat. Here comes the pitch. It's going to be a high fastball. Ball one. One-oh count now to Jonathan Kumai. Here's the pitch. Another high fastball. It'll be two balls and no strikes. Kumai steps into the box once again. Martin gets his sign. Again, sets up to deliver. Here's the pitch. Swung on. This one's going to be fouled back into the parking lot, and it hits a car. That one didn't sound good. The count will be two balls and a strike to Jonathan Kumai. Kumai steps back into the box once again. Here comes the pitch. In the dirt, it's going to get past the glove of the catcher, Jason Arsenault, and hit our home plate umpire in the leg. However, he doesn't seem very phased at all. Kind of just nicked him on the way by, I think. Count will be three balls and a strike to Jonathan Kumai now with two outs. Martin looking to come back here. Now he'll look down and take his sign. Here comes the 3-1 pitch. Swung on, fouled back into the parking lot once again. That one will not quite hit any cars. The count will become full now for Jonathan Kumai. Keyshawn Martin stepping back up onto the mound. With two outs, payoff pitch on its way. High fastball, a little bit outside as well. Jonathan Kumai gets on with a walk. Nice battle there. Kumai wins it, gets on first. And again, we'll see the top of the order here for the Colt 45s. It'll be Arive Camacho, 0-for-2 on the night with a flyout, and then reaching on an error. Camacho will look to do a job here with two outs. You have to get something big if you wanted to score Kumai from first. Martin steps up. Here's the pitch. Fastball swung on and grounded to the third baseman, Leon. He's going to step over and make a throw to first. Pulls Lapu'Yave off the bag, but he'll get Camacho on the back tag for out number three. So that'll bring us to the top of the fifth. The score remains 4-0. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, sponsoring Reading Colt 45s baseball. North Valley Distributing, servicing the electrical construction markets and electronics industry at 3081 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500. North Valley Distributing.
KCNR 96.5 FM
AM 1460 and online at KCNR1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
All righty, folks, welcome back here. It's the top of the fifth inning at Tiger Field. We are just now hitting the one-hour mark on this game. It's currently 8:15 p.m. Temperature is definitely dropping now that we're here in the shade. It's showing 98 degrees. However, I'm feeling more around 80 degrees as the sun is finally behind the trees. It's going to be Ryan Lapu'yave coming up to the plate for the East Bay Grizzlies. It'll be his second time facing off against Isaac Horsman, who has thrown four scoreless so far. Lapu'yave struck out in his first at-bat. Leading off is first baseman Isaac Horsman will look to do that once again. He steps up onto the rubber and takes his sign. Here comes the pitch. Curveball just misses the bottom of the zone for strike one. Nice pitch. Horsman doesn't seem fazed. He's right back up there. Setting up. Now the 1-0. Fastball, that'll be in there for strike one. They said Horsman doesn't show a ton of emotion up there on the mound unless it's frustration at himself. If he gets a bad call, he's just right back up there working to get back to pitch. 1-1, here it is. High fastball, it's going to come in and nail Lapu'yave on the hands. Lapu'yave wincing now and tossing his bat as he walks on over to first. Those fastballs right in there on the knuckles never feel good. And especially with the velocity of Horsman, I can't imagine that Lapu'yave is feeling too great right now. He steps on over to first now. It'll be Jordan Scott up to the plate for the second time. That's really probably the first big mistake we've seen Horsman make so far tonight. He has one walk, but I don't think he's really thrown a pitch close to any of the batters. And now Lapu'yave is taking a second. He took off his glove, and now manager Brandon Owens is going to come over from third base and chat with him a little bit. And you got to wonder if they're considering putting in someone to run for him. He's kind of wiggling those fingers around, and now he'll show his hand to his coach. Big Bird and Cookie Monster now coming out to throw some T-shirts around for KIXE night. Got a lot of people in front of me waving, trying to get a T-shirt. And now Brandon Coleman will head back over to his spot behind third base. Looks like Lapu'yave will stay in the game. He heads back on over to first. Horsman having a chat with his third baseman Jeffries. Now with the catcher Mendoza coming to talk to him. And it really looks as if maybe we're just waiting for them to stop throwing T-shirts out before we resume the game. Well, anyways, Mendoza's going to head back behind the plate now. Jordan Scott will be coming up to bat. He struck out in his first plate appearance. Now with no outs and a runner on first, let's see if Horseman can shut down the Grizzlies once again. Scott in the box sets up. Scott, the designated hitter, struck out on three consecutive pitches in his last at-bat. Now the first pitch to him is going to be swung on and grounded in the gap to the left side for a base hit. Quick throw in there from the left fielder, Cortez. And that'll put runners on first and second with no outs. So, Horseman probably in the most danger he's been in all night here in the top of the fifth. It'll be Jason Arsenal, batting ninth, coming up to the plate. Arsenal also struck out on three pitches in his first at-bat. Now Horseman is talking to somebody over there on the third baseline. Now he'll step up onto the rubber. Still not showing a lot of emotion. He seems pretty unfazed. No outs. Runners on first and second. The pitch to Arsenal. Swung on and grounded straight back up the middle. Camacho's got it. He'll step up on first. Spin around. Throw over to first. It's going to be not in time. Arsenal is safe. Camacho does a nice job. It was a slow ground ball. However, the hard-throwing shortstop just waited on it before picking it up right next to second and tagging the bag before throwing on over to first. Throw was a little offline, caused Norton to jump up and come off the bag, and he could not get his foot back on in time. And now it looks like they are sending somebody back to second base. They are. That's interesting. They're sending Lapu-Yave back to first base for some reason. He was headed to third on that play. And they're saying now the runner at first is out. I am very confused at the moment. Extremely confused. I'm not sure if they were calling perhaps a runner's interference or what, but now Brandon Owens is going to have a chat with the third base umpire. Quick chat, though. Nothing happens. But now we're showing two outs up on the scoreboard, and it's going to be Ryan Lapu-Yave back on second. So somehow, Colt 45 has got a couple of outs here. And now the pitch to the top of the order, Coleman, is going to be a fastball fouled off back into the parking lot. Now, it's times like these I wish we could maybe give the umpires a microphone or something like they do in the big leagues and hear an explanation of what exactly is going on, because all I saw was a safe call from that umpire at first and Lapu-Yave at third, so I figured it would be runners at the corners with one out. Then all of a sudden, Lapu-Yave got sent back to second, and they called that runner at first, Arsenal, out. So, now it'll be an 0-1 count to Jonathan Coleman, who's 0-2 on the night. As Horseman takes a sign and sets up, here's the 0-1 pitch. In the dirt, ball one. Count will even up at a ball and a strike. As a curveball, not a bad pitch, however, could not get Coleman to go chasing after it. The count moves to two balls and two strikes. I meant just one ball and a strike. Horseman steps up onto the rubber. That will set up the 1-1 pitch on its way. Another curveball. It'll miss the outside corner just by an inch or two for ball two. Count will be two balls and a strike now. Coleman in the box. Now Horseman is going to spin around off of the mound and fake a throw over to second. Nobody's really holding on Lapu-Yave on second base. Kumai is kind of close to the bag, but Lapu-Yave just getting a tremendous lead. Here comes the pitch. Swung on, grounded lightly to the left side. Camacho coming in. He's got it. Throw over to first is going to be in time. for out number three. Great play there from Arif Camacho, and a nice throw on the run. Gets the Colt 45s out of what was a little bit of a jam. That sends us to the bottom of the fifth, where they look to extend their four-run lead. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, sponsoring Redding Colt 45s baseball. North Valley Distributing, servicing the electrical construction markets and electronics industry at 3081 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500, North Valley Distributing.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
All righty, folks. Well, welcome back here to the bottom of the fifth inning. It's Kyle Norton up to the plate, and he just was unable to execute a bunt attempt down the third baseline. It'll be an 0-1 count for him now. Now he'll sky one straight up into the air. Third baseman Leon coming over for it, and he'll make the catch this time, barely. Though he was struggling with that one as well. Leon having some trouble with those infield pop-ups tonight. It'll be one out for Bryce Tweed coming up to the plate now. Tweed is 0 for 2 with a fly out and a ground out. Now he'll look to get his first hit of the night. Tweet stepping in. Keyshawn Martin has his sign. Here comes the pitch. High fastball for ball one. Martin out here for his fifth consecutive inning. He struggled in that second just a little bit, giving up four runs, although, as I said earlier, most of those not his fault. Now a fastball is going to jam up Tweed, and it'll lightly tap straight back to Keyshawn Martin, who picks it up and throws over to first for out number two. Bit of a swinging bunt there from Bryce Tweed as he goes down for the third time of the night. He's had a bit of a rough stretch, a couple of games here, after sitting out for the first game all season a few nights ago. That'll bring up his brother Blake Tweed, who's 0 for 2 with a couple of ground outs tonight. Tweed takes a fastball in there for strike one. Now Martin sets up. Here comes the pitch. In the dirt.
Hey, folks, we got our 50-50
ball one. The catcher, Jason Arsenal, having a little trouble blocking the balls in the dirt tonight. The first two runs of the game were scored on pass balls. from Arsenal. And now the 1-1 pitch to Tweed is going to be swung on in the dirt once again for strike two. But Arsenal, he's able to get in front of him. However, he's not really been able to square up those balls, and they've been kind of just skirting off to the side. And, well, it's definitely cost the Grizzlies so far. It's Tweed now fighting a 1-2 count. Here's the pitch. Swung on, lined down the third baseline. On the ground, foul. Count will remain a ball and two strikes. But Keyshawn Martin, like I said, those four runs really not giving a good picture of how he's pitched tonight. He's really done a great job of shutting down this Colt 45's offense so far. As now Tweed skies one into center field. However, it's going to be Kaufman getting right under it and making the catch for out number three. So Keyshawn Martin with another quick inning sends us to the top of the sixth. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. They're a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball and a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500, North Valley Distributing.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
All righty, folks, welcome back here to the top of the sixth inning at Tiger Field. Colt 45s versus the Grizzlies. They're leading right now by four runs. The Grizzlies come up to the plate. It'll be Geno Hutchinson leading off. Hutchinson is 0-for-1 with a walk so far tonight against Horseman. Horseman doing a stellar job so far. He was in a little bit of a jam last inning. Had runners on first and second with no outs, but after a double play that ended up getting a little overcomplicated due to some weird calls by the umpires, and another quick out after that, he was able to get out of the inning without allowing a run to score. So now he'll look for a sixth straight scoreless as Hutchinson steps into the box. Horseman takes a deep breath before stepping on the rubber and looking down for a sign. He's got it. Here comes the pitch. Curveball. Little bit of a check swing, not much, from Geno Hutchinson. He kind of just twisted his hips around. Looked like it could have been in the strike zone to me. However, they'll just appeal to the first base umpire, who obviously says he does not go. Now the 1-0 is going to be a fastball fouled straight back into the net for strike one. My opinion, that should make the count 0-2. That last curveball just looked really nice. However, the count will be even at a ball and a strike. Hutchinson steps in again. Now Horseman will step off the rubber and ask Mateo Mendoza to repeat the sign. Now the 1-1 pitch, here it comes. Swung on and lifted into shallow left field. Coming in is Cortez. That one is going to fall foul just out of the reach of Cortez. The count's going to move over to a ball and two strikes. As Hutchinson, who was hustling down the first baseline, now comes back to grab his bat. Now, Hutchinson, scraping the draw off his bat, steps into the box. Horseman steps up onto the rubber. It's a ball and two strikes. Here comes the pitch. High fastball. It'll be called for ball two. two balls and two strikes now to Geno Hutchinson. Here comes the 2-2 pitch. In the dirt, ball three. Count will fill up now. No outs. Horseman's going to have to battle for this one. He takes a deep breath before stepping that ball into the rubber. Here comes the payoff pitch. Fastball, swing and a miss. Strike three. That was our beer batter, so beer will be $4 here at Tiger Field for the next inning as Taylor Kaufman comes up to the plate for the third time. He's 0 for 2 tonight as well. Looking for his first hit. Horseman has given up just two hits so far tonight as he delivers a curveball that falls just above the zone for ball one. It'll be a 1-0 count. Swing and a miss on a fastball there. Strike one. Count will be evened up at a ball and a strike now to Kaufman. Nice pitch from Horseman. Like I said earlier, most of this Grizzlies team just cannot catch up to that fastball. 1-1 pitch. Here it is. Curveball. Again, looks like a really nice pitch, but called for ball two. Home plate umpire not giving a lot of leeway to those curveballs from Horseman. 2-1 pitch. Here it is. Check swing. And it's going to be a called strike anyway, so there will be no appeal. Count will be two balls and two strikes. Horseman sets up with a 2-2 count. Here's the pitch. Foul back into the net. That was a desperate swing from Kaufman just to try to reach out and make contact with something, and he's able to barely. Foul tip and one back into the net. Count remains 2-2. Here's the pitch. In the dirt this time. Good discipline there from Kaufman. That'll fill up the count for the second time in a row. So Horseman steps up onto the rubber. 3-2 pitch. Here it is. Swung on. Fouled off once again. Deep into the parking lot. And that one will miss all cars. Thankfully, that one could have done some damage. It was a high, high fly ball. Coming down with some velocity. Count remains 3-2. Here's the pitch. Swung on, jammed into shallow right field. Going back is Norton, and he'll make the catch for out number two. So, Horseman wins the battle once again here in the top of the sixth inning. And that'll bring up Benny Nazareto for the third time tonight. So now it looks like there was a little bit of confusion on the lineup. I'm hearing it's Benny Nazareto, not Nazareto. They told me Nazareto initially, but anyways, two outs here to Nazareto. Here comes the pitch. It's going to be a fastball jam shot over to the right side, foul for strike one. And now Nazareto, looking like he might have broke his bat, is asking for a new one. And they're going to fetch him one. They've got it. They'll toss it out to him. He grabs it and now heads back to the box. It'll be an 0-1 count to Nazareto. Now, Horseman has not wavered in his performance here through six. The only thing that he has struggled with as the game has gone on is his efficiency has dropped just a bit. He was really attacking these hitters early and keeping his pitch count low. Now he's gotten two consecutive full counts. Still has been efficient at getting those outs, however. Now a high fastball is going to be called ball one. It'll be evened up at a ball and a strike to Benny Nazareto. Now the 1-1 pitch. Another high fastball for ball two. And this is really what I'm talking about. In that rhythm earlier, when his arm was fresh, I mean, he was just dealing, and his location was nearly perfect. Now he's struggling a little bit, his arm a little bit tired. He's really got to focus and slow things down to hit those spots. Curveball this time is going to be a little low. It'll be three balls and a strike. So Still, if he can get out of this one without allowing a run, it'll be six straight scoreless for him, which is more than impressive. The 3-1 pitch, here it is. High fastball, ball four. Horseman taps himself on the chest for Mendoza, taking the blame for that pitch. And that'll bring up Mateo Tabimi. Tabimi is 0 for 2 on the night. He is lined out twice, actually. Both times to Jonathan Kumai. As the pitch to him now is going to go in the dirt. Nice block by Mateo Mendoza. Holds Nazario on first, but it'll be a 1-0 count to Tabimi. So now the 1-0 pitch to Tabimi. Here it comes. Fastball right on the outside corner for strike one. That'll even up the count at a ball and a strike. Now Horseman will throw back over to first. Sliding in safely is Nazario. Tabimi steps back into the box. Horseman sets up. Here comes the 1-1 pitch. High fastball. Coming close to the head of Tabimi, and he ducks out of the way. It'll be two balls and a strike now to Tabimi. Horseman really got to focus up here and slow things down in order to keep from losing his control. 2-1 pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike two. Nice fastball there. Draws a swing from Tabimi. Count will be evened up at a couple of balls and a couple of strikes. Now he sets up again. Runner goes. Swung on and jammed into right field. But it'll be foul. Sorry, that call was a little bit deceiving. It was a jam shot fly ball over there to the right side. Looked fair, but it just kept cutting right as Blake Tweed, the right fielder, was giving chase. So Tabimi now, the 2-2 count. Steps back into the box. Horseman shakes off a sign. Now he'll take this one. 2-2 pitch. Runner goes. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Horseman struggles with the pitch count, but gets it done here in the top of the sixth. That'll send us to the bottom of the inning, where the Colts look to extend that 4-run lead, get some insurance runs. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading. They're a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s and a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500. North Valley Distributing.
We're here with Mortgage Matt from Megastar Financial here in Reading. Now, Matt, I hear we're kind of in a mortgage boom right now. Can you tell us more about the benefits of possible refinancing your home right now?
So the thing right now that is different with refinancing ever in history, rates are at an all-time low, values are at an all-time high. So right now, people are able to lower their interest rate and get rid of mortgage insurance.
Matt, what if someone has just recently purchased a home or recently financed, like a year ago?
You know, this last year has been insane. A lot of people with the work-from-home phenomena, there's a lot of people moving here from metropolitan areas. That has really boosted the value of houses. So right now, people are looking to remodel their home or consolidate debt. They're able to do that at a lower cost with a cash out refinance than they ever have in history.
Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage company, located at 920 Hilltop Drive next door to Chuck E. Cheese. Call 999-9000 or get started online at megastarreading.com. NMLS 1162668.
All righty, folks. Welcome back to the bottom of the sixth inning here at Tiger Field. Still a 4-0 game after the Colts had that big inning in the bottom of the second. Now in the bottom of the sixth, they'll look to extend that 4-run lead. It'll be Keyshawn Martin back out onto the mound. He has been very efficient so far ever since that second inning. Even in the second, I mean, he wasn't looking bad. He just struggled with a couple of pitches. which really cost the Grizzlies, and he also struggled with some defensive errors on the part of his infield that also cost the Grizzlies. So now coming up to the plate is going to be, sorry, I'm checking to make sure my eyes are working right. It's going to be Isaiah Cortez for the third time tonight. Cortez is 0 for 1. He was hit by a pitch in his first at-bat and grounded out in his second. He'll be looking for his first hit. Coaches and umpires are kind of having a meeting. At least the Colt 45's coach, Barrett Fasting, is chatting with a couple of umpires, looking like he's writing something down on the lineup. I'm not sure if a substitution is being made. Perhaps he is taking out Horseman, or at least making plans to. Isaiah Cortez now stepping up into the box. Martin on the mound. Here comes the pitch. Fastball outside. It'll miss the zone just by an inch. It'll be a ball and no strikes. Here comes the 1-0 pitch. Swung on. Jam shot. It's going to be a pop-up straight to the second baseman, Tabimi, who gets under it and makes the catch for out number one. Cortez is put away for the second time. Now Mateo Mendoza will come up to the plate. He has one of the Colt 45's two singles so far in the night. Now that I'm thinking about it, the fact that they scored four runs off of two hits, both of those hits being singles, is it's kind of funny. Oh, pitch with one out is going to be a high fastball to Mendoza for ball one. It'll be a 1-0 count to him now. Here comes the pitch. Another high fastball. It'll be a 2-0 count. Martin setting up after taking his sign. Now the 2-0 pitch. Another high fastball, 3-0 count. So Martin here in the bottom of the sixth looks to be struggling just a bit with his control. He's thrown three consecutive balls to Mateo Mendoza. All of them have been high fastballs. Now the 3-0 pitch. Another high fastball. However, that one's going to scrape the top of the zone for called strike one. It'll be a 3-1 count to Mendoza. Here comes the pitch. Swing and a miss. Looked like an off-speed there. Maybe a changeup on the outside corner. Drew a swing from Mendoza. That'll fill things up here. Three balls and two strikes in the bottom of the sixth inning with one out for Mateo Mendoza. Now Martin will set up. Here comes the payoff pitch. Swung on and drilled deep into left field. That one is going. It's going, and it'll go just foul. That was a long, long shot, and we couldn't even tell if it was foul at first because it was so high as it went over the fence. You couldn't tell whether it had crossed the fence on the inside or outside of that foul pole. I believe that one may have gone all the way over the net and into the street. I mean, that was just a moonshot if you've ever seen one over there to left. Very unfortunate that it drifts just foul. Count 3-2 again. Here's the pitch. Curveball. This one's going to go inside on Mendoza. It'll be ball four. So not quite the home run that he was looking for, but he'll get a walk, and that'll bring up Derek Ray, the designated hitter. Derek Ray struggling at the plate a little bit tonight. He's 0 for 2. He's popped out a couple of times. Now with Mendoza on first, Ray will look to do a job here. One out. Here's the pitch. Fastball inside corner for strike one. It'll be no balls and a strike to start out Ray. Mendoza, not a real fast guy, being a catcher and all, not taking a huge lead off of first. Here's the pitch now. Swung on. This one's going to be driven into right center field. Going back is the center fielder Kaufman, and he will not make the catch on the run. It'll go all the way to the wall. Ray is going to hold up at second. Now Mendoza is going to hold at third as well. It'll be an easy stand-up double for Derek Ray. And that was a absolute shot. I mean, that one was deep in the right center gap. The center fielder, Kaufman, who was playing, he was actually shifted a bit over into left field, gave a noble chase over there, and really went full extension over the shoulder to try to make that catch. However, he just could not quite reach it. And just a phenomenal hit from Derek Ray. Now that'll bring up Peyton Jeffries, the third baseman. Jeffries is 0-for-2 on the night so far. Now with runners on second and third and one out, he's got a chance to do a little bit of damage. The entire infield is playing in, open to save a run. Here's the pitch. That one's going to be lined into the gap over on the left side for a base hit. One run will score. They're going to hold up Ray at third. And just like that, the Colts have turned this into a 5-0 game. Again, it'll be one out. Runners at the corners now. As Jonathan Kumai comes up to the plate. Martin looking for a double play here. Here comes the pitch. Kumai's going to line one into left field. Coming in is the left fielder Hutchinson, who will make the catch. Now the throw home is going to be not in time. It'll be a sack fly for Jonathan Kumai. So it turns into a 6-0 game now. As Derek Gray comes in to score. Two outs with Peyton Jeffries over there on first. Now at the top of the order, and Arive Camacho coming up to the plate. Camacho is 0-for-3 on the night, looking for his first hit. And Martin now has given up first two runs since the second inning. Here's the pitch. High fastball, ball one. So the Colt 45s seemingly have kind of broken it open here in the bottom of the sixth. It's a large deficit for the Grizzlies to overcome, 6-0. And doesn't look like the 45s are finished as Camacho lines one down the third baseline. Just foul. That was looking to be maybe a double. But just misses that line by maybe an inch or two. And it'll be a 1-1 count to Arive Camacho. Again, Jeffries leading out for first. Here comes the pitch. No, it's going to be a throw over. Jeffries back in standing. Count remains a ball and a strike. Camacho steps out. Takes a breath before stepping in. Martin steps up on the rubber. Here's the pitch. High curveball. Kind of lost control of that one. So although Martin has been extremely efficient throughout the game and the four runs bottom of the second couldn't totally be attributed to him, this inning it really has been on him. He's given up quite a few hits. As he delivers a 2-1 pitch. That one's going to be drilled into center field. Coming in is going to be Kaufman, the center fielder, and he'll get under it and make the catch for out number three. So the Colt 45s get it done here in the bottom of the sixth. They score two off of that long double from Derek Ray. That'll take us to the top of the seventh now. Remember, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading. They're a proud sponsor of the Colt 45s and a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets. North Valley Distributing.
Remember us, the Tula Kids? Well, we're back, and we would like to ask you a few questions.
Do you love TV? Do you like low prices?
Call our daddy.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with B&T Satellite. You know that by not calling the 800 number for your satellite needs, you get local service, faster installation, and most importantly, we speak your language. We ask the questions to ensure you get the right package for you and your family. We do big dishes, we do little dishes, we do internet dishes, we even do dish dishes.
Dad, I have never seen you do dishes.
That's because I do them most of the time.
So do I.
No, you don't.
Hey, kids, we're working here. Give us a call, and we'll help you figure out the best for your family. Whether it's dish services or local antenna help or streaming services, call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH. That's 241-3474. Or visit us on the internet at btsatellite.com.
B&T Satellite is a DISH authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
All righty, folks. Welcome back here to the top of the seventh inning. It's going to be a new pitcher out onto the mound for the Colt 45s, trying to find out who it is right now. It looks like it is going to be, if I can find it, I'm having a little trouble seeing. Looks like it's going to be Colton Wolfing out of Regis University coming in to relieve Isaac Horseman. Horseman doing a stellar job through six innings, giving up zero runs. It'll be Juan Leon up to the plate for the third time. He's 1-for-2 on the night. Wolfing steps up and delivers. That one's going to be fouled straight back for strike one. It'll be an 0-1 count to start off Leon. Wolfing heads back to the rubber. And now, actually, I believe I'm wrong. I don't think it's Wolfing at all. I think my eyes are deceiving me. It looks like it's actually going to be 37, Wyatt Doty. Doty sets up and delivers. That's going to be another foul ball back into the net for strike two. Still trying to see. I can't tell whether that's a 7 or a 0 on the back of the jersey there. If it's a 0, it's going to be Colton Wolfing. If it's a 7, it's going to be Wyatt Doty. I do believe it's Doty up there on the rubber, however. Here comes the 0-2 pitch. Swung on and grounded to Kumai. He's got it. Throw over to Norton is in time for out number one. That'll bring up the first baseman, Ryan Lapu-Yave, for the third time. Lapu-Yave is 0-for-1 on the night. He struck out in his first at-bat. He was hit by a pitch in his last plate appearance, however. Now Doty with an out. He's going to try to put away Lapu-Yave. And now it's not going to be Lapu-Yave. It's going to be someone else. And I'm not sure who. It looks like it's going to be number 11. However, I don't have a number 11 on my lineup or roster from the Grizzlies. So, well, whoever it is going to foul one back into the net. For strike one, count's going to be evened up at a ball and a strike. Looks like Lapu-Yave is out of the game. Well, I don't know what to say. I just don't have a name for whoever this is up to the plate. But it'll be a 1-1 count to him. Now the pitch is going to be a fastball on the outside corner for strike two. Count will be a ball and two strikes with one out. Again, 6-0 is the score. Colt 45's lead. Here comes the 1-2 pitch. Fastball, this time a little too outside for ball two. That'll even up the count at two balls and two strikes. Number 11, our nameless hitter, will step back into the box. Here comes the 2-2 pitch. Swung on and jammed over to the third baseman, Jeffries, who throws over to first. It's going to be in time for out number two. I didn't think he had much of a chance. But number 11 hustling down the line. Probably didn't take advantage of a rule that he could have. The throw from Jeffries was a little bit offline. It caused Norton to actually move in front of the base to make the catch. And, well, number 11 hustling down the line there would have been able to really just run straight through Norton and probably would have gotten himself on base. However, he held up right before running into Norton and, well, allowed Norton the ability to make the catch over there on the first baseline. Now to Jordan Scott. It'll be a fastball in there for strike one as Doty sets up and delivers the 0-1 pitch. That'll be another fastball in there on the inside corner for strike two. Now the other 2 pitch, here it is. Fastball, a little too inside this time. Kind of move over to a ball and two strikes. One, two pitch from Doty. Here it is. High fastball, swing and a miss. Strike three. So a nice outing from Doty here in the top of the seventh inning. Once again, sits down the Grizzlies as the Colts come back in the bottom of the inning and look to extend that 6-run lead. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading. Give them a call at 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500. North Valley Distributing.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, Pasta, and More, made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy Mambo Pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous Sundial Steak Salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering in 2 locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA. Or go online to sfymca.org.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
All righty, folks, welcome back here to the bottom of the seventh inning. It's going to be Kyle Norton coming up to the plate for the fourth time tonight. Norton is 1-for-3 on the night with an infield single so far. We'll be looking for a second hit as Martin is back out onto the mound. And now Norton's going to pop one straight up foul over towards the first base side. And first baseman, looks like it's Jordan Scott, who was the designated hitter, comes over to make the catch. Scott moving into that first base hole. It'll now be Bryce Tweed coming out to the plate. Tweed, pretty quiet tonight. He is 0-for-3 so far.
That's 2 drives in a row.
Tweed is 0-for-5 in his last 5 at-bats, and that's really just uncharacteristic of him. I think this might be the longest stretch he's had without a hit. Here comes the pitch to him. It's going to be a fastball low for ball one, nearly in the dirt. It'll be a ball and no strikes. Here comes the pitch. Another fastball, a little low that time, just below the strike zone for ball two. Bryce Sweet steps back into the box. To a pitch, here it comes. Swung on and driven into deep left field. Going back is Hutchinson, and he will make the catch at the wall for out number two. Tweed almost broke the slump with a big home run there, but unfortunately just does not quite get enough on it as Blake Tweed comes up to the plate. Tweed himself is also 0 for 3 tonight. He'll be looking for his first hit. Two outs, here's the pitch. Inside fastball, ball one. Now the 1-0 pitch is going to go outside for ball two. Now I'm looking at it, folks. I had Martin written down as number 12 this entire time. However, Martin is actually 11 as he delivers a fastball for strike one to Tweed. So he was that number 11 who came up to the plate the last inning, and I had no idea who it was. That was Martin. He is filling in at his own designated hitter spot as he delivers now a fastball low for ball three to Tweed. It looks like they took out the first baseman, Lapu-Yave, as Lapu-Yave was hurt after getting hit on the hand in that one at bat. Now a fastball is going to go inside once again. That'll be ball four for Blake Tweed. But so Martin was filling in his own designated hitter spot. And Jordan Scott, who was in that designated hitter spot, moves over to first base. It's going to be Isaiah Cortez coming up to the plate now. Cortez is 0 for 2 on the night. He's also hit by a pitch in his first plate appearance. Here's the pitch to him. It's going to be an outside fastball, ball one. With Blake Tweed leading off of first. Martin looking down takes his sign. Now he'll set up. Here comes the pitch. No, he'll throw over. It's going to be not in time. Tweed is back in standing. One oh will remain the count. Martin takes his sign and now sets up. Comes the pitch, runner goes, swung on, pops straight up into the air. Tweed is rounding third. Now the pitcher, Martin, will make the catch over in the foul grounds over near the third base dugout. That'll be out number three, and it'll bring us to the top of the eighth inning. The Grizzlies look to chip away at this six-run deficit. We come back. Remember, folks, North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s. They are a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, so give them a call at 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500, North Valley Distributing.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
All righty, folks. Welcome back here to the top of the eighth inning. It's going to be Wyatt Doty out onto the mound for the second consecutive inning. He came in to relieve Isaac Horstman in the top of the seventh. Pitched one scoreless. Score remains 6-0 here as Jason Arsenal, the catcher for the Grizzlies, comes up to the plate for the third time. He'll look to get something started here, try to help chip away at that 6-0 deficit. The Grizzlies have just 6 more outs to work with in an effort to get 6 more runs. And I'm wrong. It's not Doty. It's Caden Nichols out onto the mound. Boy, oh boy, I am having trouble identifying players here tonight. And Nichols is going to throw a first pitch fastball. A little high, but draws a swing from Arsenal for strike one. A one pitch on its way. Here it is now. Curveball in there for strike two. Nice pitch from Nichols there. Arsenal looking at an 0-2 count. Nichols sets up. Here comes the 0-2 pitch. Fastball, outside corner, does not quite catch the zone. It'll be 1-2. Nichols sets up, and again, here comes the 1-2 pitch. Fastball, check swing from Arsenal. However, they're not going to appeal it. There's no appeal from the catcher, Mendoza. A little surprising. It'll be 2-2. Here's the pitch from Nichols. Swung on, fouled weakly over to the left side. Arsenal just trying to stay alive there. And, well, he does it. Count remains 2-2. Nichols steps back up onto the rubber, takes his sign. Here comes the 2-2 pitch. Curveball, strike three called. And Arsenal knew it. He ran straight back into the dugout before that pitch was even called for strike three. So that'll back up to the plate. Coleman is 0-3 on the night. Popped out in his first at bat and then has grounded out a couple of times since then. Nichols setting up. Here comes the pitch to Coleman. It's going to be in the dirt. Ball one. There's a curveball there. I don't think that's where Nichols wanted it. Coleman steps back in. Here comes the 1-0 pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike one. Count will now be 1-1 to Coleman. 1-1 pitch. Here it comes. Swung on and grounded over to the left side. Foul. Count will remain... Sorry, count will become 1-2 to Jonathan Coleman. Nichols looks down for his sign. Here comes the pitch. High fastball. That'll be 2. It'll even up the count of a couple of balls and a couple of strikes. Coleman back in the box. Here comes the 2-2 pitch. Curveball swung on and fouled. Barely back into the net. Coleman able to swing at a fastball and stay alive. Now he'll step back into the box. 1-2 pitch on its way. Fastball just below the strike zone. That'll fill up the count at 3-2. Now, over the PA, they announced that it was Caden Nichols out onto the mound, but to me, that still looks like Wyatt Doty out there. It comes to 3-2 pitch. Swung on and fouled over to the right side in the air. I don't know. No, it looks like I'm wrong. That is Caden Nichols. My eyes are just having some problems tonight. Anyways, Coleman steps back into the box. The count's going to remain full. Done a great job of fighting off here. Couple of pitches against Nichols. Now the 3-2 again. Check swing in the dirt. They're going to say he went. And now Mendoza will quickly pick it up and tag him. That'll be out number two here for the Colt 45s as Geno Hutchinson comes out for the fourth time tonight. Hutchinson 0 for 2 with two strikeouts. He's also got a walk on the night. Step up to the box. Nichols up on the rubber, tapes his sign. Here comes the pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike one. It'll be no balls and one strike to start off Hutchinson. He steps back in to the box. Here comes the 0-1 pitch. Curveball just above the dirt. It'll be called ball one. Count evened up now at a ball and a strike. Nichols again sets up. Here comes the pitch. Fastball right across the outside corner for strike two. Nice pitch there. Nichols really just painted that lower outside corner. It'll be a ball and two strikes. Here comes the pitch. Fastball in the dirt. Ball two. It'll be two balls and two strikes to Geno Hutchinson now. So we're just about hitting that two-hour mark on the game. Current time is 9:16. Nichols sets up. Here's the pitch. In the dirt, another curveball. That one kind of spiked out in front of the plate. The count will move to three balls and two strikes to Geno Hutchinson. It'll be a full count for him. With two outs, Nichols really wants to get out of this one quick. Mendoza will give him the sign now. He's got it. Sets up. Here comes the payoff. Swung on and fouled back into the parking lot. That's fouled back there a decent ways. Count will remain three balls and two strikes. Nichols sets up. 3-2 pitch. Here it comes. In the dirt, ball four. So Nichols can't quite get it done against Hutchinson. Hutchinson draws his second walk of the night, and that'll bring up Taylor Kaufman, who is 0 for 3. Still, Nichols has two outs. Almost got his third against Hutchinson there, but was unable to win the battle. Hutchinson really fighting off a couple of pitches to stay alive. Now the pitch to Kaufman. It's going to be a fastball drilled into deep center field. Going back is Tweet, and he'll get under it easily and make the catch. That ball sounded and looked really great off the bat, but I guess it just went a little higher than it went farther. Sorry. That'll bring us to the bottom of the eighth inning. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets. Call 530-222-1500, North Valley Distributing.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back. Bottom of the eighth inning here at Tiger Field. Keyshawn Martin is back out onto the mound given up 6 runs total so far, probably about 3 or 4 of those, not his fault. Either way, he's been an absolute workhouse tonight for the Grizzlies, considering he's now going into his 8th consecutive inning. He has not given up a whole lot of runs, and he's really limited the Colt 45's offense so far. At least a few of these runs, maybe even up to half, are probably able to be blamed on the defense. They've had about 2 scored errors so far and a couple more mental mistakes. Sorry, 3 scored errors. Either way, it's going to be Mateo Mendoza up to the plate for the 4th time. He fouls one off to the right side. He'll be looking at a 1-1 count. Mendoza's 1-for-2 on the night. And now he's going to go ask for a new bat. He caught that last pitch right off the end of his, and he's thinking he might have broken it, I think. He'll get a new one from the dugout, and he'll head back to the box. Count will be a ball and a strike. Mendoza, in his last at-bat, in which he walked, had a 3-2 long, long fly ball that everyone thought was a home run. However, it drifted just foul at the last second. 1-1 pitch, here it is. It's going to be an inside fastball, way inside for ball 2. Count will become 2 balls and a strike now to Mendoza. He steps back into the box. 2-1 pitch, here it is. Swung on and tapped over to the second baseman, to Beamy, who throws over to first in time for out number 1. Mendoza is put away on the ground out, and that will bring up Derek Ray. Ray is 1-for-3 on the night. He had that long double in his last at-bat that set up the Colt 45s for their 2-run inning. Man, I mean, that was a shot. It was deep into center field, kind of towards the right side. Now he's going to foul off the fastball into the parking lot. But the center fielder, Kaufman, tried to chase after it and almost was able to get a glove on it. However, reaching over his shoulder, he just could not quite reach it. Great hit for Derek Ray. Let's see if he does it again. Here's the 0-1 pitch. Swing on and grounded sharply to the shortstop, Nazario. Nazario has it, throws over to first for out number 2. So Ray goes down. And that'll bring up Peyton Jeffries for the 4th time. Jeffries, after Ray's double a couple innings ago, had a nice single into left that ended up scoring one of those 2 runs we saw. Aside from that, he's been pretty quiet tonight. Now he'll step into the box, going up against Martin for the 4th time. Martin steps up on the rubber. Here comes the pitch. High fastball called, strike 1. Jeffries looked like he was about to offer a swing at it, but ultimately held back. Now the 0-1 pitch, here it is. Swung on and driven into center field. That'll get down for a base hit. So Jeffries has his 2nd single of the night. And with 2 outs, that'll bring up Jonathan Kumai. Kumai coming out to the plate. He is 0-for-1 on the night. He reached on an error, was walked, and then had a sack fly that scored a run in his most recent plate appearance. Now, with Jeffries leading off of 1st and 2 outs, he'll go up against Martin. Here's the pitch. High fastball. That one will not find the zone. It'll be a 1-0 count to Kumai. Martin steps back up onto the rubber and takes his sign. Now he'll set up. Here comes the 1-0 pitch. Fastball swung on and fouled back into the parking lot. That one, luckily, will not hit any cars. Count will be evened up now to Kumai, a ball and a strike. Martin sets up. Here comes the pitch. Another high fastball. Ball two. You can tell as the night has gone on, Martin's arm has just continuously gotten more and more tired. He's been struggling a bit to get through this game. Here comes the 2-1 pitch. Fastball in there for strike two. However, he is, like I said earlier, just been a workhorse for the Grizzlies. Martin now looking in once again. Two balls, two strikes, two outs. Here's the pitch. Curveball swung on and driven into right field with a base hit. Jeffries will hold up at second. Kumai's got his first base hit of the night. And that'll bring up the top of the order in Arrieve Camacho. Camacho, uncharacteristically 0 for 4 tonight so far, will look for his first hit of the night. With runners on first and second, a base hit could score another run here for the Colt 45s. As Martin steps back up onto the rubber. Now he'll look down for a sign. He's got it. Here comes the pitch. Fastball swung on and fouled back into the parking lot. Narrowly misses a car there. It'll be an 0-1 count for Camacho. Now, like I mentioned earlier, Camacho sat out the majority of the game a couple nights ago. He had just one at-bat in which he struck out. And since that off night, he has seemed to be a little dead here tonight. Here comes the 0-1 pitch. High fastball. It'll be a 1-1 count. Kumai on first. Jeffries on second. Martin steps up onto the rubber again, looks for a sign. He's got it. Now he'll set up. Here comes the 1-1 pitch. Another high fastball. Martin really missing high with a lot of those pitches. It'll be a 2-1 count now to Arrieve Camacho. Martin again looks down for a sign. Now sets up. Here comes the pitch. Low fastball that time. Ball three. So he had two outs with none on. Now Martin is dangerously close to walking the bases loaded. He's got his sign, 3-1 pitch on its way. Swung on and lifted into left field. Coming in is Kaufman. He will lay out and make the catch for out number three. Phenomenal catch from Kaufman. Gets Martin out of the inning and probably saves a run as well. So that'll bring us into the top of the ninth, where the Grizzlies look at their last chance to score and tie up this ball game. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, sponsoring Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing, servicing the electrical construction markets and electronics industry at 3081 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500. North Valley Distributing.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back. It's the top of the ninth, and the Grizzlies' last chance to score here. They're down 6-0 as Benny Nazario takes a fastball outside for ball one from Kaden Nichols, who's back out there on the mound to close this game out. Nazario is over 2 on the night with a walk. Now 1-0 pitch from Nichols. Here it comes. Fastball just a little low for ball 2. Nichols thought that one was a strike. You could tell by the body language he's a little disappointed at that call. Count will be 2 balls and no strikes now. Here's the pitch. Fastball, again, low and outside, ball 3. So 3 straight balls from Nichols, and Mazzaro is on the verge of his second consecutive walk. Here's the pitch. Another low fastball. This one's going to be called a strike. That one was maybe even lower than the one that was called a ball earlier in the at-bat, but 3-1 will be the count now. Here's the pitch. That one's going to be popped straight up but out of play. Looks like it's going to go into the parking lot. Again, misses any cars. And now, having fought back after going down 3-0, now Nichols has filled up the count and will look to put away Benny Nazzaro. Nichols sets up. Here comes the pitch. Again, swung on. Almost exactly the same spot with a foul ball there. Count will remain 3 balls and 2 strikes. Nazzaro steps back into the box. 3-2 pitch for the second time. Here it comes. Inside, ball 4. So Nichols kind of wastes a few pitches there, trying to battle against Nazzaro, ultimately loses the battle and puts him on first, and that'll bring up Mateo Tabimi. Tabimi's 0 for 3 on the night so far. A couple of lineouts and a strikeout, looking for his first hit. Here's the pitch. Swung on, up the middle, and he's got it. First single of the night for Mateo Tabimi, and with no outs, that'll put runners on first and second for Juan León, who was 1 for 3 on the night, as the Grizzlies are close to scoring their first runs of the game. There is no activity in the Colt 45's bullpen. It looks like manager Barrett Fasking is putting his full trust in Nichols to finish out this game. However, Nichols is in a bit of trouble here. The runners on first and second, Juan León up to bat. Now Nichols will look down for a sign. He's got it. Sets up. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike 1. Nichols kind of just released everything with that pitch. Nice velocity. León couldn't catch up. No balls and a strike. Here comes the 0-1. Swung on and fouled over to the right side. 2 quick strikes to Juan León. That'll put him in an 0-2 count. León now stepping back up into the box. 0-2 count with runners on first and second. Nichols gets his sign and sets up. Here comes the pitch. Strike 3 called. Inside fastball catches the corner of the zone. And Nichols gets his first out of the inning in a big way, sending Juan León back to the dugout. Now that'll bring up Keyshawn Martin, the pitcher. And we'll see if he can get himself some offensive support after having thrown 8 innings already tonight. Nichols sets up. Here's the pitch with 1 out. Swing and a miss. Strike 1. Martin didn't really even look close to catching up with that pitch. He steps back into the box. Nichols takes his sign. Here's the pitch. Outside fastball. That one, again, catches the zone for strike 2. And just like León, Martin has himself in a quick 0-2 count. As after the 2 base runners allowed, Nichols is looking much more efficient. 0-2 pitch. Here it is. Outside fastball barely misses the zone. I think everyone was getting ready for a strike 3 call there. It's going to be a 1-2 count instead, however. Nichols takes the sign and sets up. 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike 3. Martin is down for the second time tonight. And now, with one out remaining for the Grizzlies, it'll bring up Jordan Scott, the previously designated hitter who moved over to first base after Ryan Nupuyave was taken out. Jordan Scott is 1-for-3 on the night with a single. Here's the pitch. Low fastball just under the strike zone for ball one. Here, a base hit could score the first run of the game for the Grizzlies. At least make it a little more dignified. Here's the 1-0 pitch. Fastball swung on and fouled back into the net for strike one. Count will even up now with a ball and a strike. Scott steps up in the box. Nichols has his sign. Here comes the 1-1 pitch. Swung on and jammed into shallow right field. And Norton is back, and he'll make the catch for out number three. So, Colt 45s win it. Six great innings from Isaac Horseman. Three more phenomenal innings from Caden Nichols. Final score here at Tiger Field is going to be 6 runs, Colt 45s, and none from the East Bay Grizzlies. We're going to have the second game of the series tomorrow night, same time, 7:15 p.m. It'll be a hot one, but one you don't want to miss. Colt 45s come back with the bats after that tough loss a couple of nights ago, but ultimately they just get the job done. Huge shout out to their pitching, allowing no runs through 9 innings. And folks signing out here from Tiger Field, I'm Austin White. I'll see you tomorrow night.
We now return to our regularly scheduled broadcasting.
Not only was there no support for such a constitutional right until shortly before Roe, abortion had long been a crime in every single state. At common law, abortion was criminal in at least some stages of pregnancy and was regarded as unlawful and could have very serious consequences at all stages, says the majority. American law followed the common law until a wave of statutory restrictions in the 1800s expanded criminal liability for abortions. By the time of the adoption of the 14th Amendment, 3/4 of the states had made abortion a crime at all stages of pregnancy. The remaining states would soon follow. Roe either ignored or misstated this history. Casey declined to reconsider Roe's faulty historical analysis. It's important, therefore, to set the record straight. And they go into a long discussion of what exactly the history of abortion law looks like in the United States and in the British common law that preceded the Constitution of the United States. They talk about Blackstone's commentaries. And they talk about the rules with regard to quickening. You know, what the left likes to say is, well, you know, it used to be that abortion was okay until quickening. Well, that was based on, again, biological ignorance. The court concludes the inescapable conclusion is that a right to abortion is not deeply rooted in the nation's history and traditions. On the contrary, an unbroken tradition of prohibiting abortion on pain of criminal punishment persisted from the earliest days of the common law until 1973. The court in Roe could have said of abortion exactly what Glucksberg said of assisted suicide. Attitudes toward abortion have changed, but our laws have consistently condemned and continue to prohibit that practice. Respondents and their amici have no persuasive answers to this historical evidence. Neither respondents nor the Solicitor General disputes the fact that by 1868, the vast majority of states criminalized abortion at all stages of pregnancy. Nor are respondents and their amici unable to show that a constitutional right to abortion was established by the 14th Amendment when it was adopted. But they found no support for the existence of an abortion right that predates the latter part of the 20th century. No state constitutional provision, no statute, no judicial decision, no learned treatise. The earliest sources called to our attention are a few district court and state court decisions decided shortly before Roe and a small number of law review articles from the same time period. Okay, so, again, there is no history to any of this. And then they cite the lack of history that is being provided by the proponents of Roe versus Wade. The opinion continues. Instead of seriously pressing the argument that the abortion right itself has deep roots, supporters of Roe and Casey contend the abortion right is an integral part of a broader entrenched right. Roe termed this a right to privacy. Casey described it as the freedom to make intimate and personal choices that are, quote, are central to personal dignity and autonomy. Again, the Casey decision written by Justice Anthony Kennedy is, in my opinion, the single worst written Supreme Court decision of all time. It is just pathologically stupid garbage, the Casey decision. At the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and of the mystery of human life. What the hell kind of new agey bullcrap is that? Especially when you're talking about legislation. And when you're talking about legislation that affects other interests, like, you know, the unborn human being. The court did not claim this broadly framed right is absolute. No such claim would be plausible. While individuals are certainly free to think and to say what they wish about existence, meaning, the universe, and the mystery of human life, they are not always free to act in accordance with those thoughts. License to act on the basis of such beliefs may correspond to one of the many understandings of liberty, but is certainly not ordered liberty. Is Alito just woodshedding Justice Kennedy, as is well deserved, and Casey's an abomination. Ordered liberty sets limits and defines the boundary between competing interests. Roe and Casey each struck a particular balance between the interests of a woman who wants an abortion and the interests of what they termed potential life. But the people of the various states may evaluate those interests differently. In some states, voters may believe the abortion right should be even more extensive than the right Roe and Casey recognize. Voters in other states may wish to impose tight restrictions based on their belief that abortion destroys an unborn human being. Our nation's historical understanding of ordered liberty does not prevent the people's elected representatives from deciding how abortion should be regulated. That is the key question, right? Whether states get to have a say on this. They then try to take on the idea that this is going to end with if we get rid of Roe and Casey, then this means that we are going to overrule Loving versus Virginia or Griswold versus Connecticut or Eisenstadt versus Baird or any of the rest of these cases. So the court takes this on explicitly and say, nor does the right to obtain an abortion have a sound basis in precedent. Casey relied on cases involving the right to marry a person of a different race. The right to marry while in prison, the right to obtain contraception, the right to reside with relatives, the right to make decisions about the education of one's own children, etc., etc., etc. These attempts to justify abortion through appeals to a broader right to autonomy and to find one's concept of existence prove too much. Okay, now this is a law school phrase. The idea that that is an argument that proves too much, it means that the argument is so broad that it encompasses stuff that you clearly do not wish to encompass. Those criteria, as the court says, at a high level of generality, could license fundamental rights to illicit drug use, prostitution, and the like. None of those rights has any claim to being deeply rooted in history. What sharply distinguishes the abortion right from the rights recognized in the cases on which Roe and Casey rely is something both of those decisions acknowledge. Abortion destroys what those decisions call potential life and what the law at issue in this case regards as the life of an unborn human being. None of the other decisions cited by Roe and Casey involve the critical moral question posed by abortion. They are therefore inapposite. So, again, the critical flaw in this opinion is that it keeps over and over reinstating substantive due process as a good idea. I keep coming back to this because, again, Thomas's concurrence is a must read. Thomas's concurrence is the best exposition I think I've ever read of the substantive due process notion from the Supreme Court and why it is so damaging to the Supreme Court and basically turns it into an ad hoc legislature. But the court says even if you were to hold substantive due process, which we do, then abortion is not covered by substantive due process. They say in drawing this critical distinction between the abortion right and other rights, it is not necessary to dispute Casey's claim that the specific practices of states at the time of the adoption of the 14th Amendment do not mark the outer limits of the substantive sphere of liberty which the 14th Amendment protects. Abortion is nothing new. It's been addressed by lawmakers for centuries. The fundamental moral question that it poses is ageless. Defenders of Roe and Casey do not claim any new scientific learning calls for a different answer to the underlying moral question. They do contend changes in society require the recognition of a constitutional right to obtain an abortion. Without the availability of abortion, they maintain, people will be inhibited from exercising their freedom to choose the type of relationships they desire, and women will be unable to compete with men in the workplace and in other endeavors. Americans who believe that abortion should be restricted press countervailing arguments about modern development. They note that attitudes about the pregnancy of unmarried women have changed drastically, that federal and state laws ban discrimination on the basis of pregnancy, that leave for pregnancy and childbirth are now guaranteed by law in many cases, that the costs of medical care associated with pregnancy are covered by insurance or government assistance, that states have increasingly adopted safe haven laws which generally allow women to drop off babies anonymously, and that a woman who puts her newborn up for adoption today has little reason to fear the baby will not find a suitable home. They also claim many people now have a new appreciation of fetal life, and when prospective parents who want to have a child view a sonogram, they typically have no doubt that what they see is their daughter or son. Both sides make important policy arguments. Supporters of Roe and Casey must show this court has the authority to weigh those arguments and decide how abortion may be regulated in the states. They have failed to make that showing. Okay, now, the additional part of the majority opinion is the part taking on the dissent. Okay, so the dissent is written, of course, by the left wing of the court. The dissent is the joint opinion of Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan. And as we will get to when we get to the dissent basically makes the argument, we like abortion, therefore the Constitution covers abortion. That is the extent of the opinion. It's a very long, they take a long way around to say it, in the same way that they've said about the Second Amendment, we don't like guns, therefore the Second Amendment doesn't protect bearing arms outside the home. This is how the left reasons when it comes to constitutional law. We wish for result X, therefore the Constitution mandates or prohibits result X, right? That is how they rule. We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
NobleGoldInvestments.com. Inflation is real, and the rate is estimated to be upwards of 10%. Soon, $1 million in your retirement account won't even last as long as you need it. Look, you need to store the value of your money, and you need to do it fast. The solution is NobleGoldInvestments.com. A precious metals IRA acts like a shield for inflation, and the name to know is Noble Gold. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're truly a natural choice for your retirement portfolio. Mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. You heard right. Just mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Don't let inflation affect you or your retirement. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. Mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. NobleGoldInvestments.com. Investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
We'll get to even more on this majority decision striking down Roe versus Wade. Amazing day in America. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Remember us, the Tula Kids? Well, we're back, and we would like to ask you a few questions.
Do you love TV? Do you like low prices? Call our daddy.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with B&T Satellite. You know that by not calling the 800 number for your satellite needs, you get local service, faster installation, and most importantly, we speak your language. We ask the questions to ensure you get the right package for you and your family. We do big dishes, we do little dishes, we do internet dishes, we even do dish dishes.
Dad, I have never seen you do dishes.
That's because I do them most of the time.
So do I.
No, you don't.
Hey, kids, we're working here. Give us a call, and we'll help you figure out the best for your family. Whether it's dish services or local antenna help or streaming services, call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH, that's 241-3474, or visit us on the internet at btsatellite.com.
B&T Satellite is a DISH-authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Backyard grillouts are better this summer with the Omaha Steaks All-American Assortment. Visit omahasteaks.com, enter Sizzle in the search bar, and fill your freezer with 16 mouth-watering entrees like butcher's cut filet mignons, pork chops, boneless chicken breasts, and more. Plus, 8 ultra-juicy Omaha Steaks burgers free. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Sizzle into the search bar for a special price on the All-American Assortment, and get 8 Omaha Steaks burgers free. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword Sizzle.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the Supreme Court has now struck down Roe versus Wade. We are going through all the details. Okay, here is what the court has to say about the dissent. Quote, the dissent is very candid that it cannot show a constitutional right to abortion has any foundation, let alone a deeply rooted one. The dissent does not identify any pre-Roe authority that supports such a right. No state constitutional provision or statute, no federal or state judicial precedent, not even a scholarly treatise. Nor does the dissent dispute the fact that abortion was illegal at common law, at least after quickening, that the 19th century saw a trend toward criminalization of pre-quickening abortions, that by 1868, a supermajority of states had enacted statutes criminalizing abortions at all stages of pregnancy, etc. The dissent's failure to engage with this long tradition is devastating to its position. We have held that established methods of substantive due process analysis requires that an unenumerated right be deeply rooted in this nation's history and tradition before it can be recognized as a component of the liberty protected in the Due Process Clause. But despite the dissent's professed fidelity to stare decisis, it fails to seriously engage with that important precedent, which it cannot possibly satisfy. The dissent attempts to obscure this failure by misrepresenting our application of another case called Glucksberg. The dissent suggests we have focused only on the legal status of abortion in the 19th century, but our review of this nation's tradition extends well past that period. As explained, for more than half a century after 1868, actually for more than a century, including another half century after women gained the right to vote in 1920, it was firmly established that laws prohibiting abortion, like the Texas law at issue in Roe, were permissible exercises of state regulatory authority. Because the dissent cannot argue that the abortion right is rooted in this nation's history and traditions, it contends that the constitutional tradition is not captured whole at a single moment, and that its meaning gains content from the long sweep of our history and from successive judicial precedents. Which, of course, is their way of just being completely arbitrary. We're not going to look at the text. We're not going to look at the history. As the court says, that's ridiculous. This vague formulation imposes no clear restraints on what Justice White called the exercise of raw judicial power. And while the dissent claims its standard does not mean anything goes, any real restraints are hard to discern. The largely limitless reach of the dissenter's standard is illustrated by the way they apply it here. First, if the long sweep of history imposes any restraint on the recognition of unenumerated rights, Roe was surely wrong, since abortion was never allowed in a majority of states for over 100 years before that decision was handed down. Second, it's impossible to defend Roe based on prior precedent, because all of the precedents Roe cited, including Griswold and Eisenstadt, were critically different for a reason we've explained. None of them included potential life. So without any support in history or relevant precedent, Roe's reasoning can't be defended, even under the dissent's proposed test. The most striking feature of the dissent is the absence of any serious discussion of the legitimacy of the state's interest in protecting fetal life. This is evidence in the analogy that the dissent draws between the abortion right and the rights discussed in Griswold, contraception, Eisenstadt, Lawrence, sexual conduct with a member of the same sex, and Obergefell, same-sex marriage. Perhaps this is designed to stoke unfounded fear that our decision will imperil those other rights. But the dissent's analogy is objectionable for a more important reason. What it reveals about the dissent's views on the protection of what Roe called potential life. The exercise of the rights at issue in Griswold, Eisenstadt, Lawrence, and Obergefell does not destroy a potential life, but an abortion has that effect. So if the rights at issue in those cases are fundamentally the same as the right recognized in Roe and Casey, the implication is clear. The Constitution does not permit the states to regard the destruction of a potential life as a matter of any significance, right? This is where the dissent is obviously totally correct, right? I mean, where the majority is obviously totally correct and the dissent is wrong. Right, the dissent is basically just taking the left-wing position. There is no rational state interest in protecting unborn human life. That view is evident throughout the dissent, says the majority. The dissent has much to say about the effects of pregnancy on women, the burdens of motherhood, the difficulties faced by poor women. These are important concerns. However, the dissent evinces no similar regard for a state's interest in protecting prenatal life. The dissent repeatedly praises the balance that the viability line draws between a woman's liberty interest and the state's interest in prenatal life. But for reasons we discuss later, the viability line makes no sense. It was not adequately justified in Roe. The dissent has not even tried to defend it today. Our opinion is not based on any view about if and when prenatal life is entitled to any of the rights enjoyed after birth. The dissent, by contrast, would impose on the people a particular theory about when the rights of personhood begin. According to the dissent, the Constitution requires the state to regard a fetus as lacking even the most basic human right to live, at least until an arbitrary point in a pregnancy has passed. Nothing in the Constitution or in our nation's legal traditions authorizes the court to adopt that theory of life. Okay, so that is the majority dispensing with the dissent, the left wing of the court. Then the majority has some very special words for Chief Justice Roberts, which I frankly enjoyed. Okay, so, says the Supreme Court, we next consider whether the doctrine of stare decisis counsels continued acceptance of Roe and Casey. Stare decisis plays an important role in our case law. We've explained it serves many valuable ends. Stare decisis is just precedent. It protects the interests of those who have taken action in reliance on a past decision. It fosters even-handed decision-making by requiring that like cases be decided in a like manner. It contributes to the actual and perceived integrity of the judicial process. And it restrains judicial hubris and reminds us to respect the judgment of those who have grappled with important questions in the past. We have long recognized, however, that stare decisis is not an inexorable command. When it comes to the interpretation of the Constitution, the Great Charter of our liberties, which was meant to endure through a long lapse of ages, we place a high value on having the matter settled right. In addition, when one of our constitutional decisions goes astray, the country is usually stuck with the bad decision unless we correct our own mistake. An erroneous constitutional decision can be fixed by amending the Constitution, but our Constitution is notoriously hard to amend. Therefore, in appropriate circumstances, we must be willing to reconsider and, if necessary, overrule constitutional decisions. And then the court specifically cites a few decisions that they have overruled. So, for example, Brown v. Board was overruling Plessy v. Ferguson. Or West Coast Hotel v. Parrish which overruled a case holding that a law setting minimum wages for women violated the liberty protected by the Fifth Amendment's Due Process Clause. Or West Virginia Board of Education, in which the court overruled another case holding that public school students could not be compelled to salute the flag in violation of their sincere beliefs. And then they put together a list of stare decisis being overruled, a very, very long list. It's a two-page footnote. No justice of this court, says the majority, has ever argued that a court should never overrule a constitutional decision, but overruling a precedent is a serious matter. In this case, five factors weigh strongly in favor of overruling Roe and Casey. The nature of the error, the quality of their reasoning, the workability of the rules they imposed on the country, their disruptive effect on other areas of the law, and the absence of concrete reliance. And then they go through each of these factors. They talk about the fact that there is no good quality to the reasoning. The reasoning sucks. They go through the fact that it's not grounded in history, that the rules that they came up with are completely legislative in nature. And they go through all of these various five factors, and the court says, yeah, none of these cut in favor of upholding stare decisis here. And then they get to saving some special words for Chief Justice Roberts. They say, and I'm scrolling through the opinion here, so stick with me. They say that the unable to find reliance in the conventional sense, the controlling opinion in Casey perceived a more intangible form of reliance. It wrote that people had organized intimate relationships and made choices that defined their views of themselves and their places in society in reliance on the availability of abortion in the event contraception should fail. Casey's notion of reliance finds little support in our cases. This is talking about the last part of the Casey decision and how none of these cases cut in favor of stare decisis here. It says, the dissent argues that we have abandoned stare decisis. We have done no such thing. It is the dissent's understanding of stare decisis that breaks with tradition. The dissent's foundational contention is that the court should never, or perhaps almost never, overrule an egregiously wrong constitutional precedent unless the court can point to major legal or factual changes undermining the decision's original basis. In supporting this contention, the dissent claims Brown versus Board and other landmark cases overruling prior precedents responded to changed law and to changed facts and attitudes that had taken hold throughout society. The unmistakable implication of this argument is that only the passage of time and new developments justified those decisions. Recognition that the cases they overruled were egregiously wrong on the day they were handed down was not enough. The court has never adopted this strange new version of stare decisis, and with good reason. Does the dissent really maintain that overruling Plessy was not justified until the country had experienced more than a half century of state-sanctioned segregation? Even if the dissent were correct in arguing that an egregiously wrong decision should almost never be overruled unless its mistake is later highlighted by major legal or factual changes, reexamination of Roe and Casey would be amply justified. We've already mentioned a number of post-Casey developments, but the most profound change may be the failure of the Casey plurality's call for the contending sides in the controversy about abortion to end their national division. That hasn't happened. The dissent, however, is undeterred. It contends the very controversy surrounding Roe versus Casey is an important stare decisis consideration that requires upholding those precedents. But as we've explained, Casey and Roe basically created the controversy in the first place. And then, for like the fifth time in the opinion, the majority says, we are not overruling Griswold or Lawrence or Obergefell. I mean, they keep saying it over and over. So when you hear that these are about to be overruled, understand there is not a majority of support for this. There may be one vote to overrule that. That would be Justice Thomas, who happens to be correct, but there are not the votes to overrule this. Finally, the dissent, says the majority, suggests our decision calls into question Griswold, Eisenstadt, Lawrence, and Obergefell. We have unequivocally stated nothing in this opinion should be understood to cast doubts on the precedents that do not concern abortion. We've also explained why that is so. Rights regarding contraception and same-sex relationships are inherently different. They go back again to that well. Okay, now they get to Roberts. Quote, we now turn to the concurrence in the judgment, which reproves us for deciding whether Roe and Casey should be retained or overruled. That opinion, which for convenience we'll simply call the concurrence, recommends a more measured course, which it defends based on what it claims is a straightforward stare decisis analysis. The concurrence would leave for another day whether to reject any right to an abortion at all, and would hold only that if the Constitution protects any such right, the right ends once women have had a reasonable opportunity to obtain an abortion. The concurrence does not specify what period of time is sufficient to provide such an opportunity, but it would hold that 15 weeks, the period allowed under Mississippi's law, is enough, at least absent rare circumstances. There are serious problems with this approach, says the majority. It is revealing that nothing like it was even recommended by either party. As we have recounted, both parties and the Solicitor General urged us to either reaffirm or overrule Roe versus Casey. When the specific approach advanced by the concurrence was broached at oral argument, both respondents and the Solicitor General emphatically rejected it. Respondents' counsel termed it completely unworkable and less principled and less workable than viability. The Solicitor General argued that abandoning the viability line would leave the court and others with no continued guidance. What's more, the concurrence has not identified any of the more 130 amicus briefs filed in this case that advocate its approach. The concurrence would do exactly what it criticized Roe for doing, pulling out of thin air a test that no party or amicus asked the court to adopt. So that is the majority just woodshedding Justice Roberts, which he fully deserves. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rhonda Rockstra. Senate Democrats are up in arms over the Supreme Court decision striking down Roe versus Wade.
Senate Democratic leader Charles Schumer responded to the ruling by calling Friday, quote, one of the darkest days our country has ever seen. Judiciary Committee Chairman Democrat Dick Durbin vows hearings next month to explore what he calls the grim reality of a post-Roe America. Republican leader Mitch McConnell, however, calling the ruling courageous and correct. In his words, the court has corrected a terrible legal and moral error. Bob Agner reporting.
Late Friday, protests were continuing around the country, but little or no violence being reported. Also at SRN, and also the day after endorsing Ukraine's candidacy to join the European Union, the bloc's leaders turned their attention to the severe economic turbulence from Russia's war in the neighboring country that's entering its fifth month. The EU's 27 leaders gathered in Brussels to grapple with surging inflation and a number of other problems, including energy shocks, dwindling business and consumer confidence, and growing budget pressures. The House passed a gun safety bill Friday, sending the measure now to President Biden's desk, marking the first time in nearly 30 years Congress has approved major legislation to combat gun violence.
The bill, dubbed the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, passed in a 234-193 vote. 14 Republicans voted with Democrats in support of the measure. 3 Republicans did not vote. The House took up the legislation early in the morning, just hours after the Senate approved the measure in a bipartisan 65-33 vote. Mr. Biden expressed support for the Senate's proposal earlier this month after negotiators released a framework, writing in a statement that the measure would represent, quote, the most significant gun safety legislation to pass Congress in decades. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
Norwegian police say 2 people killed, more than a dozen injured in a mass shooting in downtown Oslo. This is townhall.com.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-918-8302 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-918-8302. That's 800-918-8302. What do you have to lose? Call 800-918-8302. Again, 800-918-8302.
Juul can keep selling e-cigarettes as a court blocks an FDA ban.
A federal appeals court Friday temporarily blocked a government order for Juul to stop selling its electronic cigarettes. A 3-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia granted Juul's request for a temporary hold while it appeals the sales ban. On Thursday, the Food and Drug Administration said Juul must stop selling its vaping device and its tobacco and menthol-flavored cartridges. The FDA action was part of a sweeping effort to bring scientific scrutiny on the vaping industry after years of regulatory delays. Mike Crossia, Washington.
An expert panel backed the second COVID vaccine option for kids 6 to 17. Advisors to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention voted unanimously Thursday to recommend Moderna shots as an option for school-age kids and adolescents. Breaking news at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. European air travelers, they're just like us. They're frustrated, tired, and standing in long lines.
Now airlines and airports that slashed jobs during the depths of a COVID-19 crisis are struggling to keep up. With a busy summer tourism season underway in Europe, passengers are encountering chaotic scenes at airports, including lengthy delays, canceled flights, and headaches over lost luggage. The head of Europe's biggest airline warned the turmoil would last all summer. Thousands of flights have been canceled in Europe this month. It's a similar story in the United States. John Scott reporting.
Back-to-back World Leader Summits in Europe opening this weekend will focus on uniting Western nations behind Ukraine in its fight against Russia's invasion and overcoming Turkey's opposition to NATO membership for Finland and Sweden. The group of seven are meeting in Germany for their annual meeting, followed by a meeting in Madrid. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstrom.
Al Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Guys, let's get to some really, really important news. Yeah, I read that due to a seed shortage, mustard could be in short supply this summer. Yeah, you can tell things are bad today. President Biden called Emmanuel Macron like, pardon me, would you have any Grey Poupon?
Wow, that was painful. That was just flat out painful. Pardon me, would you have any Grey Poupon? Oh, dear Lord. Now I know why Greg Gutfeld is having such an easy time taking on the late-night network comedy shows. Wow! That is horrifically bad. That is not even middle comedian. That's opening act comedian in a club somewhere, the Chuckle Hut somewhere in Lake Wobegon. My God, that was awful. It's Mike Opelka. It is Friday on the Chris Plant Show. Chris will be returning on Monday. I'm here today wrapping up my stint, filling in for my buddy Chris Plant. Thank God Michael Piercy is here to give me the crutches I need every day, the production crutches to keep me moving along. And thank God you are here. And you are welcome to join the conversation at any time today, 888-630-9625. Can I hear that horrible joke? How much is this guy getting paid to be a late-night host? It's in the millions of dollars, isn't it? And they have dozens and dozens of writers and assistants, et cetera, and a live audience being prodded to laugh. I have to hear that horrible joke once more.
Guys, let's get to some really, really important news.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I read that due to a seed shortage, mustard could be in short supply this summer. Yeah. You can tell things are bad today. President Biden called Emmanuel Macron like, pardon me, would you have any Grey Poupon?
Oh. And a warm round of indifference when it comes to a reaction from the audience. That is just terrible. That's terrible, Mr. Fallon. That's awful. I can only imagine what was going on over at Colbert's show. I'm sure they were taking pot shots, pun intended, at anyone who supports the Second Amendment yesterday after the decision. A couple of things we'll get to on yesterday's Supreme Court decision. The response from the left has been exactly what you expected. And I know many of you went in and read the actual decision from Clarence Thomas on his birthday yesterday, released on his birthday. Happy birthday, Justice Thomas. And maybe some of you also read the dissenting opinion from Justice Breyer. And that was interesting on its face itself. The dissenting opinion seemed to be completely disconnected from the case. He was bringing up Uvalde. He was bringing up Buffalo. And as such, there was a response to the dissent. And that response from Justice Alito is just wonderful. And it shows you why it was time for Justice Breyer to retire. Now we're going to get Ketanji Brown Jackson in his place. We're replacing a clueless loyal liberal with somebody who's a lot younger, but still a loyal liberal, so it's not exactly a great bargain. But if you want to see a great summary of Justice Alito's response to the dissent, Katie Pavlich has one over at townhall.com. Just wonderful. Well done, Katie Pavlich. Well done. Boy, there's so many things to go today. I haven't checked this morning to see if Shannon Bream has been spotted outside the Supreme Court. If she is, I anticipate that the networks anticipate that there's going to be a decision on Roe v. Wade. So we will see that. I'll be monitoring to see. I know they've got a camera outside that 10 o'clock Eastern, the decisions are expected to be handed down. Yesterday, there was no Shannon Bream. And when I challenged her on it, when I said, hey, where the heck are you? The Shannon Bream Index usually tells us when these big decisions are coming out. And she wrote back and said it was raining and she didn't want to be out in the rain, so she was in her home studio. Good for her. But it's clear out today. There won't be any rain today, so there is a really good chance that the Bream Index will be in effect, and we'll keep you posted throughout. But as I said, we have to get to the discussion of what happened yesterday following the release of that decision and how so many on the left just absolutely melted like the Wicked Witch of the West getting a bucket of water tossed on her. It was amazing to watch. Just amazing to watch. And the mainstream media did not disappoint. They delivered as anticipated because I think they had their freakouts ready. Just yesterday after it, there was a little bit of a montage that was developed about the response from the mainstream media.
The Supreme Court decision is going to call into question pretty much every piece of gun restriction across the country.
Good.
What the conservatives on the Supreme Court are saying is we want the Second Amendment to be a first-class right like the First Amendment.
Well, that's Tubin, right? Doesn't he get that? The Second Amendment should be a first-class amendment like the First Amendment? Yeah, why shouldn't it be? It's only the Second Amendment. It's only the reason we as a country exist is because the people that were here who had guns decided that they would take on an oppressive, authoritarian king, and they stood up against what at the time was an amazing army. The British military went down to a bunch of ragtag gun owners, colonists who were here. Think about that. Think about the just audaciousness of that. But Jeffrey Toobin doesn't understand what the first 10 amendments are all about. Yeah, they're all first-class amendments, little mister. I guess he's distracted by other things. But there's more from the mainstream media.
And we want to be able to carry guns anywhere, anytime, without any sort of regulation by the government.
That's not really true. That's not, that is so, so wrong. Such a mischaracterization of what happened yesterday. But never let the truth get in the way of you, CNN.
Here is so many people get hit by these guns. When you read the news headlines every day of children crossing the street, people that were doing nothing because everyone decided to be a good guy with a gun.
Well, this is a lady, another reporter, talking about so many people get hit by these guns. Children crossing the street get hit by these guns. Legal gun owners, legal concealed carry owners, are not shooting in the streets. It's not good guys with a gun that are hitting children. That's just a flat-out lie. And the mainstream media wonders why nobody believes them, why the trust deficit has gotten to be so big. It's astounding. They're not done.
If you're in Times Square, amidst all the hubbub and human reaction and potential gangs and so forth and so on, that people can be easily carrying around concealed weapons, that's just startling. We have a Supreme Court that is out of touch with modern-day realities.
David Gergen. David Gergen weighing in over there at CNN. The Supreme Court, he says, is out of touch with modern-day reality. As somebody who lived in New York City for 20-plus years, I can tell you that weapons, and he's talking about weapons, they are they're not just limited to guns. You know, we've seen all kinds of things. For him to say that this is just the opportunity that everyone's going to have now to go out and carry a gun concealed, no, that's not how it works. That's dishonest, sir. That's a complete load of Bravo Sierra that you're dumping on the diminishing audience of CNN. And by the way, we have to have some fun with CNN today, because there was an epic moment yesterday. I want to save it for a little bit later in the show. An epic moment with a CNN reporter and a Republican gubernatorial candidate that just, I must have watched this 20 times already. Easily 20 times. And I'll probably watch it yet another 20 times, because it's just absolute. It's gold, Jerry. It's gold, I tell you. And we have to dive into the mental state of the president. It doesn't bring me any joy that we have a president who is an embarrassment, not just to the country, but to himself and his family. I don't know how the Biden family looks at Joe, who I guess is the patriarch at this point. He's got the biggest gig, even though he relies on Hunter for a whole bunch of his income or his bank account. But it's got to be embarrassing to see where this guy has gone. It's got to be embarrassing to see how quickly he has taken the country, which was actually doing pretty darn well compared to the rest of the world in the face of the pandemic, and destroyed it. Absolutely destroyed it. I don't think that's too harsh a language. I don't think it's unfair to talk about it being a destructive move. Every time Joe Biden just decides to change something because Donald Trump was doing it. And I don't know how you explain it any other way. He seems to move against the common sense that lived during the Trump administration, against the pro-business, pro-small guy. Joe Biden's always saying how he's for the little guy. He's not. He's not. He's for the big donors, and he's for the unions. And, you know, what he's doing is hurting the unions. Absolutely hurting. And so we'll dive into what happened yesterday with Joe Biden, how embarrassing it was. And we should have seen it coming. We talked about it a couple of days ago right here on this show. We talked about how Joe Biden said the quiet part out loud when people were asking him about his decision on a gas tax holiday or gas cards or tariffs. Joe said the quiet part out loud when he said this.
We're in the process of making up my mind.
We're in the process of making up my mind. I guess he downloads whatever the decisions are. Every morning it gets transferred to the chip in his head, and then he gets fed the data. It's really kind of distressing. But we'll talk about that. Some of it's funny, yes. But if we're the ones who are going to be ridiculed by the rest of the world, and we are, Vladimir Putin's got to be looking at that mess that happened yesterday and just laughing. His oil revenues are above where they were the day he rolled into Ukraine, attacked Ukraine, and we said, all right, we're not going to buy any more oil. We're going to tell the world to avoid you too. The revenues are higher. Good job, Joe. And I'm sure China is certainly looking at it and saying, hey, while this guy's stumbling, mumbling, and fumbling, why don't we just step over to Taiwan right now? And, of course, we have to talk about the alleged gun safety bill that got through the Senate last night and heads over to the House. There may be a vote very soon. Who knows? We'll find out. 15 members of the Republican Party voted for it. 15. Now, there are 5 members of that group that are, there are 5 members of Republican senators who are retiring, and I believe 4 of them voted to advance that bill to the House. So we're going to be dealing with a lot. We'll talk about the Second Amendment just around the corner. Your calls as well, 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625, Mike Opelka. One more day in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
According to Fortune magazine, the Fed created 300 years worth of money growth during the pandemic in 2020. But that money doesn't go into the bank accounts of ordinary Americans. It goes directly into 24 elite institutions on Wall Street, one of which is the world's largest bank by market cap. So while the money isn't going back into the pockets of the people who need it most, here's the good news. I discovered a way for you to finally access something I call the elite wealth pool. It has to do with an opportunity that some banks originally made available for wealthy clients. But it's an opportunity that may help you weather the coming economic meltdown. So here's how you can get a piece of the pie. You need to go to Masterworks. Visit Masterworks.com and use my promo code PLANT for unrestricted access. Again, that's Masterworks.com. Use my promo code PLANT. Before deciding to invest, carefully review important disclosures at Masterworks.io/CD. Remember, that's Masterworks.com, promo code PLANT.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with expertise and tools with Windows 11 to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. To do more with a Latitude laptop, Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
If you have a small business, Staples has your sign.
Banners for my bakery?
Staples has your sign.
Oh, posters for my new pet store.
Floor decals for a pharmacy.
Every day, Staples associates help every kind of small business create bold signs to make big impressions. And now get $10 off custom signs, banners, and posters when you spend $50 or more. This is your sign, so print it big at Staples. N72. Visit staplesconnect.com/thisisyoursign for details.
If you're fed up with cable news, it's time for a change. It's time for you to watch Greta Van Susteren again. Greta is back, and she's on Newsmax, America's fastest-growing cable news channel. Each night, The Record with Greta Van Susteren is taking on big business, big Washington, and big media. Tune in at 6 p.m. Eastern as Greta broadcasts from D.C. with real news and the facts you need to know. And check out our new lineup with Greta, Rob Schmidt, Eric Bolling, Greg Kelly, and more. Millions are making the switch to Newsmax. Find out why. Newsmax is on all major cable systems and streaming platforms. If your cable doesn't carry Newsmax, call them. Demand it. And download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. It takes just seconds. And start watching anytime, anywhere. So check out The Record with Greta Van Susteren tonight. And make the switch to Newsmax. It really is real news for real people.
My dog was scratching and shedding like crazy around the house. When I heard about Dynavite Nutritional Supplement, I thought, why not? Couldn't hurt. We literally tried everything else. Our dog quickly took to it, and after a couple of weeks of adding Dynavite to his food, we noticed a big difference. Our little Gizmo's coat was shinier, and he almost completely stopped shedding and itching. I'm so glad I tried Dynavite.
My dog smelled so bad and scratched herself constantly. We bathed, sprayed, and bathed her again, but no results. Then I heard about Dynovite supplements for gut health, and all of the reviews sounded just like my Bella. After just 2 weeks, she had major improvements with the smell, and no more scratching or dragging her stomach across the carpet, and her coat is more beautiful than ever.
Get 10% off your next order of Dynovite nutritional supplements for dogs at Dynovite.com.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over 1 million pets helped with Dynovite.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Backyard grillouts are better this summer with the Omaha Steaks All-American Assortment. Visit omahasteaks.com, enter Sizzle in the search bar, and fill your freezer with 16 mouth-watering entrees like butcher's cut filet mignons, pork chops, boneless chicken breasts, and more. Plus, 8 ultra-juicy Omaha Steaks burgers free. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Sizzle into the search bar for a special price on the All-American Assortment, and get 8 Omaha Steaks burgers free. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword Sizzle.
It is the Chris Plant Show. It is Friday, so yes, I'm going to say it several times today, even though I think some of you have the little hairs on the back of your neck stand up when I say it. Friday, Louie, to you. Let's celebrate it. You made it all the way here to a Friday. And we'll have some fun today, too. There's a lot of news to get to. There's a lot of news. We'll talk about the gun bill. We'll talk about the yesterday Supreme Court ruling. We'll talk about Joe Biden. And the embarrassment grows daily, almost geometrically, arithmetically before, but I think we're in a geometric progression at this point. You can look that up if you need to. We'll talk about Title IX. We'll talk about Amazon and their assistant, whose name I don't want to say because sometimes when you say it, it triggers everybody who has one of those with that name that begins with an A and ends with an Exa, that there's triggers and starts causing trouble. But would you like it to have the voice of a dead relative? Would you like that personal assistant to have the voice of a dead relative? I don't have this begins with an A and ends with an Exa. System, but I know so many people who do, and they use it all the time. They tell it to turn down the air, turn up the air, play the music, etc. I'm not a fan of giving control over to the robots just yet, but you might be able to very soon put the voice of a dead loved one or a dead person from your history on that device. I think you just should get like a famous person. If you're going to have that kind of control coming out of a box, it should be Morgan Freeman, I think. Let's face it, the voice of God should be there. Just saying, just putting that out there. We'll talk about it. Maybe you've got one of those devices, and we'll talk about it. A couple of calls popping in. Let's try and grab one or two here. Curtis is in Germantown, Maryland. Curtis, welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. Been a pleasure having you on this week.
My honor, sir. Thank you.
They make such a big jump with the carrying of guns. I think that any honorably retired or resigned police officer, any former military who used a sidearm in their performance of duty, who honorably was discharged with no signs of PTSD, should instantly have concealed carry. And we would have a lot more really well-trained people out there.
That's a great point. That's an absolute wonderful point. And there are, I heard somewhere, they're in the numbers of retired military who still retain the right to carry a firearm could be easily hired to sit at our schools and protect our schools from any bad folks. But right now, a lot of those schools are gun-free zones, and they become targets. They become opportunities. We go back to the previous histories of shooters who bypassed certain opportunities because they knew there were people who were armed inside, and especially those who served honorably, military veterans, and now are honorably discharged. I could get behind that, but the people in Washington apparently cannot. We'll talk about it more in more of your calls. Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
This is The Chris Plant Show.
Whether it's birds or bugs, dirt and grime, Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has car wash packages starting at only $9. Buy 5 car wash coupons, get one free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons, get 3 free. So whether you're off to work or off to play, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors and the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Choose from a tasty half-pound burger, pepperoni pizza, sandwich or hot dog with a side of fries, potato or macaroni salad, and dessert. Eat in or call 530-691-4333 to place your order or order online. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to 2495 Athens Avenue, north of Crown Motors and the Cypress Square Shopping Center, where our food speaks for itself.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday, 8 to 9. Are you awake? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you realize you're in an information war where we're losing our country? It's time to stand up and defend your freedoms, my brothers and sisters. Americans don't care what color you are. Those of the past do.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Gold Leaf Nursery is back open and you're invited to come see for yourself why so many customers tell us how beautiful the nursery is. Locally grown plants and vegetables are on sale now. Buy any 3 vegetables or soil booster and get one free. Let Gold Leaf Nursery and Landscaping's contractor install beautiful dark green synthetic lawn, the best on the market. No maintenance, no water, no fertilizer. Call for your free estimate. Gold Leaf Nursery open 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday, closed Sunday and Monday across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course, Gold Leaf Nursery, 6168 Churn Creek Road.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Friday, Louie, to you. Yeah, it's Friday. It is the Chris Plant Show. It's Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant. And we're trying to have a little positive tone to the show as well as some fun amid all the other news that we have. And we will get to it all, plus your calls as well as always with the Chris Plant audience, the smartest audience in radio, 888-630-9625. The number. We haven't really dived into yesterday and how the Senate pushed through the gun safety bill, air quotes implied around the words gun safety. But they did it, and it went 65 to 33, and it's over at the House now, and they're going to decide whether or not they're going to tinker with it or rush it through. It could happen today. And if it happens today, one assumes then it will be rushed to the White House, because by signing this, and I'm guessing all of this has to do with whether or not we get the abortion decision, the Roe v. Wade decision today. You see, the Democrats will look for distractions. Distractions from destruction. That's kind of what the Joe Biden schedule is all about every day. He's trying to find a way to get our attention away from all the destruction he's caused. But if in the wake of yesterday's gun freedom ruling out of the Supreme Court, the concealed carry overturning in New York, which now will have repercussions all across the country, if this abortion ruling comes out and it matches the leaked decision, then the Democrats are going to need something. They're going to need to light another fire or find another white squirrel running across the White House lawn and go, look, a white squirrel. And so that would do it. So Joe Biden could get out there and talk about common sense gun reform, and he'd have Nancy Pelosi on one side and Chuck Schumer on the other, and maybe a couple of the 15 Republicans who joined them. So I think the House vote, and I could be totally wrong here, I think the House vote hinges on whether or not the abortion decision comes out of the Supreme Court today. I still think Chris Plant is lobbying to make sure it happens on Monday when he returns, which would be kind of a cool thing for him. So we shall see. But yesterday, the gun bill passed the Senate, heads over to the House. It's in the wake of this Supreme Court decision, which, if you boil it down, if you really just want to understand, because, you know, we have liberal friends who live in our neighborhood, and they're hoplophobe. That's a term you may not know. That's your SAT word of the day. Hoplophobia is an irrational fear of guns. When you hear the gun, when you see the gun, when somebody says they're going to get a gun, you tense up and tighten up and start freaking out. Your sphincter gets all tight. Hoplophobia. We have neighbors who are hoplophobes, and just seeing an NRA sticker on the back of my car, they shake their heads. No, how could you? I know. How could you want people to be trained correctly to operate a firearm? That's just craziness. But there's going to be a lot of confusion. So boil it down to your friends. All the ruling out of the Supreme Court yesterday did, the 6-3 ruling, all that did was say you can't put undue steps into the process of securing a concealed carry permit. They said it's okay for a state to require a permit to own a firearm, but you can't force them to show that they have cause, they have a specific threat before you'll allow them to carry. And that's just common sense. And my buddy Rich said, you know, if you think about the First Amendment in the same way, if this law was allowed to stand, if New York was allowed to do this, somebody could say, well, then in order for you to go to church, you have to prove a good reason to go to church. In order for you to protest in public, you have to prove before you'll be allowed to protest in public. No, these first 10 amendments don't operate that way. That's not how the deal works. That's not how the Bill of Rights works. So we've seen a lot of people freaking out. We'll get to some of the freaking out, like Keith Olbermann. Keith Olbermann, who used to be just so much fun to watch on MSNBC. Michael Pearson and I were talking during the break. When Keith Olbermann was on MSNBC, he had transitioned, not that way. He wasn't Karen Olbermann. He's always been Keith Olbermann. But when Keith Olbermann transitioned from sports broadcaster to liberal Democrat screaming monster with a Shakespearean delivery, it was fun for us to watch. And I have to tell you, we would watch Keith Olbermann every day on MSNBC, but only for one segment, when he would declare a conservative to be the worst person in the world, because that usually meant they were one of the best people in the world. So we actually competed. I worked at TheBlaze.com for 6.5 years, wrote 3,000 stories and hosted hours and hours of Blaze Radio there. And it used to be a badge of honor to be named the worst person in the world or one of the three worst people. And Michael was saying, yeah, it's kind of been the same here in radio all around the country. But that's it's just a fabulous honor that's gone now, because Keith Olbermann lost his mind and melted down and had to be sent off to a place to kind of recuperate. But he's out there on the Internet. He does one thing that's really praiseworthy. Olbermann has one redeeming quality. I know what you're thinking. How could he? No, he saves dogs. He rescues dogs. He is a guy who's constantly posting pictures of dogs in shelters about to be killed, and they're usually very good dogs who just need a home. That's the one thing he does that he should focus on, in my opinion. But yesterday, Keith Olbermann couldn't help it. He came out and had to tell us all that the Supreme Court needs to be abolished. And isn't that the way of the liberal? If you don't agree with me, you must be banned. You must be abolished. And I guarantee you, the court packing team is meeting and has been meeting for the last week, getting ready for these two decisions to talk about. They have to pack the court. So there will be a sprint to try and push that through as well. So pay attention to that. But the Democrats freaking out yesterday about this decision was absolutely epic. And no two better freakouts than we witnessed from the New York governor and the mayor of New York, Governor Hochul and Mayor Adams. And just for good measure, we threw in a little bit of Lori Lightfoot out of Chicago. She's known as Lightfoot to her friends, but since my old hometown has become kind of a mess, a war zone, she's officially Lori Lightfoot. Here's a little bit of those reactions.
This decision isn't just reckless, it's reprehensible. The insanity of the gun culture that has now possessed everyone all the way up to even to the Supreme Court.
Oh.
And we cannot allow New York to become the Wild Wild West.
Too late.
We cannot allow our city to live in fear that everyone around us is armed and that any altercation could evolve into a shootout.
It's devastating. I mean, it's just fundamentally devastating. Proliferation of illegal guns is a challenge of our time, and we have got to rise up as a country.
Well, rising up as a country is how we became a country. Rising up as a people against tyranny like you three would impose upon us. And I find it hilarious in an ironic way that Mayor Adams and Mayor Lutefoot are presiding over cities with some of the toughest gun laws, and yet they still have gun crime happening at an amazing rate. How about you reinstitute stop and frisk? How about you bring that back? It worked when Mayor Giuliani got in there and kind of put New York back on an even keel. Stopped it from 6 murders a day. A couple of calls getting in here before we get too far into this half hour. Jody is calling from Wilmington, North Carolina. Jody, welcome to the Chris Plant Show. What is on your mind?
Hey, Mike. I just wanted to make an analogy about how they act when pro-Second Amendment moves forward and they get all crazy about it. They're just projecting on how they would act towards abortion. Like, you know, they're sitting there talking about, oh, everybody's going to go out and grab guns and just shoot people, just be good guys. There's guns flying around everywhere, bullets flying through the air, hitting, you know, random people. Well, that's just how they view, just change the Second Amendment for abortion. That's it. That's how they want it to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and the argument I always like to offer to our friends on the far, far left who are all hot and bothered about the possibility of protection of the unborn is that there is no constitutional amendment that guarantees the right to an abortion. Not a constitutional amendment at all. And they go, woo, Roe. And I said, yeah, that's a decision. And Supreme Court decisions are frequently overturned as science and culture change and advance. And we get smarter about what's viable as an individual, as a baby is growing inside a mother. So I love to bring that up. That's a great point. They are projecting and they will project going forward. I appreciate you, Jody. Thank you, sir. Mike in Houston, Texas. Mike, welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, Mike. Hello.
How you doing, sir? I lived in your town for 9.5 years. What part of Houston are you in?
Well, actually, I'm a little west of Houston. I don't know if you know of the Sugar Land area.
Oh, sure. I-10. You're straight out of I-10. Beautiful area. It's damn near a part of Houston these days. It's getting so big.
Oh, man. Houston is growing. It is incredible. I mean, 1 week you drive down a street where there were cows, and the next week it's nothing but, you know, they flattened it and they're putting foundations for houses and businesses. And yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good. We like prosperity. When I was there from 79 to 88, the crane was the bird of the state, the construction crane. And downtown was built and the Galleria was built, and that's good. What's up, though? What have you got on your mind today?
Well, you know, first off, you know, this Second Amendment thing, these people are just, it's not going to affect me because I am a carry holder. You know, I have a license. It's not going to affect me at all. If I want to purchase a firearm, I go down, I show them my card, I walk out with it. But then again, I pass background checks. You know, I pay. People go, there's no background checks. That is incredibly lie. You have to pay for your own background check. I paid. As a matter of fact, I paid for, because of another license I have, I had to pay for my own background checks to be able to carry hazardous materials and go into port areas. I've had 5 background checks, you know, for a series of licenses. But my point is, you know, none of this is going to stop any sort of violence. But what they should do, what they should have done, they need to take the restriction off of juveniles that are convicted of crimes, you know, and that at 18, their records are sealed. They can go out and purchase firearms. What did this kid in Uvalde do as soon as he was 18? He went down and bought rifles. That's not a problem. The problem was his past history. You know, they knew about this kid. in all of these situations, they knew about these people. You know, if you have any sort of felony, and I'm not talking about, you know, some girl that goes and shoplifts at Target when she's 12, right? I'm talking about kids that have committed felonies as juveniles. They should be restricted for life. You know, this shutting down of criminal records at 18 years old because they believe that, oh, people change, juveniles change. Once you're already in that lifestyle, they very rarely change. You know, the recidivism rate, you know, is up through the roof. It's a very small percentage of people that get out of a criminal lifestyle once they start it.
Well, so Mike, the interesting thing here is the people who want to lower the voting age to 16, I'm talking about most Democrats, want the voting age to be dropped to 16, and we know why, don't want you to know what those people would have done between the age of 16 and 18 before they would purchase a firearm. So they contradict themselves. They put up some ideas that just don't make any common sense. And anytime somebody names a bill and says this is common sense gun reform, I initially say, hold on a second, it's probably not. I believe there is some discussion of the background checks in this bill and how it might be opening them up, especially for youth. We shall see. We'll follow it along. I appreciate you for being there, Mike. Have a Lone Star Long Neck in my honor this weekend, and take a spin around Memorial Park. It's Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
This is The Chris Plant Show. Broken bricks, falling fences, damaged doors. Gorilla Glue, of course. Gorilla Glue is incredibly strong, 100% waterproof, and bonds virtually everything. Gorilla Glue, for the toughest jobs on planet Earth.
Fear of out-of-control inflation is hammering the stock market. The S&P 500 is having its worst start to the year since World War II. Not only is your money worth less, you now have less of it. Good time to diversify into gold, the most stable asset in the history of the world. And Birch Gold is the company I trust to help you convert an IRA or a 401k into an IRA in gold and silver. Not only will Birch Gold help you fortify your savings with precious metals, they'll help you do it in a tax-sheltered account. Just text Chris to 989898 to get started. Amazon stock down 37% in the first half of the year. Tesla down 40%. Cryptos have been slammed. And many fear the moves by the Fed could stall the economy. What's your plan? Text Chris to 989898 and get your free no-obligation information kit from Birch Gold. Text Chris to 989898 and secure your savings now. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Message and data rates apply.
How long does it take to tackle a home project? With Angie, you could cross it off your list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need. Indoor, outdoor, repair, or redesign. And we handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. You don't have to lift a finger, except to tap the screen or click the mouse. Plus, Angie is free to use. So bring us your next home project, and we'll bring it home. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
Heavy on projects, but light on staff? Indeed's hiring platform helps attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Sponsor a job and instantly receive a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
If a new home has been on your mind, it's a smart idea to take action now. Review your budget, start the pre-approval process, and get ahead of rising rates before you start shopping. Real estate will continue to be a healthy investment as long as you're getting a competitive deal from a lender who cares, like American Financing, America's home for home loans, because they realize no two journeys home are alike. So they're going to get to know you before creating a custom loan that achieves your goals. From flexible terms to fast closings, even the ability to lock your interest rate for 120 days. This is a company that's got you covered. And they never charge upfront or hidden fees. So, whether you're upgrading, downgrading, or investing, the lender to trust is American Financing. 866 866-886-2026. That's 866-886-2026. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Backyard grillouts are better this summer with the Omaha Steaks All-American Assortment. Visit omahasteaks.com, enter Sizzle in the search bar, and fill your freezer with 16 mouth-watering entrees like butcher's cut filet mignons, pork chops, boneless chicken breasts, and more. Plus, 8 ultra-juicy Omaha Steaks burgers free. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Sizzle into the search bar for a special price on the All-American Assortment, and get 8 Omaha Steaks burgers free. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword Sizzle.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? The FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug, ranitidine, may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now.
800-516-9931.
Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation.
Call 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931. That's 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931.
It is the Chris Plant Show, and it's Friday, and we are celebrating the end of the week. We're also awaiting whether or not we're going to get another big decision out of the Supreme Court. I haven't seen Shannon Bream on the streets yet, so I'm thinking she knows nothing big today. We'll find out soon, though. That's coming up just around the corner. We'll also talk about what Joe Biden did yesterday to make everyone, left, right, middle, a little more nervous about the guy who has first access to launch codes, if you know what I'm saying. Maybe we should take those and put them in a special place. It's time to take the keys to the launch codes away from the president. And so many of you have jumped in as we've talked about the gun bill, gun safety, allegedly, moving over to the House. Q is in D.C. I know we're speaking in initials today. Q in D.C.? Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call. No, it's not my initial, man. It's my last name, C-U-E.
Oh, hey, well, welcome, Q. It's like a James Bond name. We like it.
Indeed. Hey, I was trying to make a point. You know, when they allow people to have the concealed carry, how will that affect the crime? It should act as a deterrent. And then it'd be undeniable that, you know, our Second Amendment right, you know, it has some fringe benefits, you know? So
well,
it should affect the crime rate.
There is evidence, Q. There are 2 million plus episodes every year, reportedly, of concealed carry permit holders, good guys with guns, shutting down bad guys with guns.
Correct.
We had a case in Colorado where the guy who wanted to shoot up a theater traveled farther than he wanted to because the theater he was going to go to had armed security. And then I have a story that I think it's out of Ohio. I'm going to have to get the video next hour and play it for you. There was a clerk at a Dollar General store, and he was in the Dollar General store. He had a concealed carry permit. A guy came in with a gun, started waving the gun at him, pointing it at him, demanding the money from the register. And the clerk pulled out his firearm, legally carried firearm and shot the guy graveyard dead. But now here's the rub on this. The would-be robber who was waving the gun at the clerk, his family are now complaining that that guy should not have been allowed to carry a gun to his job. That, you know, but for Dollar General allowing a legally armed person to work at their store, that their family member would have been alive. This is the kind of madness, Q, that we have to fight every single day. It just doesn't make any damn sense. But that's the reality. Good guys with guns and girls with guns do save people, and they are deterrent. And as long as they've been checked and trained, I don't have a problem with that. I get trained every couple of years to renew my permit. What a thought. Training. Preparation. It's Michael Pelkin for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.